Hello out there in Radio Land. Hi there out in Radio Land. It's the Dr. Fred Bell, Health Science and Energy Show. I think we're coming on the air now. It's the Dr. Fred Bell, Health Science and Energy Show on Saturday Night Live. So we're here, and I think we picked on a hot topic here. What do you think, Don?
I think it's always hot around here.
We got callers before we even start. Is that what we got here now, or are they calling? First of all, give out the 800 number.
Okay, folks, if you want to call in, just dial 888-268-4313. And, of course, if you're abroad, and that means overseas, 281-419-7697. I didn't mean to be discriminatory there. I just, are you there?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
I'm here. You and a cracker. That's all I need today is a cracker. So anyway, we're going to talk about technology tonight and why we need it. Do you have any questions, Don?
Yeah, we have someone online. Would you like me to swing them through?
Swing them through.
Good evening, Dr. Bell.
Hi.
This is Ayn calling from Philadelphia. I've read your books and listened to you for many years. I have a question. Where to live and to take what?
Where to live?
Well, with what is happening, everything that's happening with the government and the unsafe situations health-wise, the chemtrails.
Okay, the best place to, first of all, the best place you have to live is within yourself. That's the most important part. To listen to any other advice from any other place is pretty much pointless, because no one is more qualified than you are to figure out where you're supposed to be at the right time and the right moment. And within that, I always encourage sobriety, meaning that you don't do any kind of a substance, no alcohol, nothing that would alter your normal internal integrity. Because what I have found, when you are in a normal, sober and somber moment, you're where you're supposed to be. That's the first rule, because it's all about be here now.
Yes, I understand that, but it's
secondly now, the other area is you have to then, once you figure out which, you know, where you want to be or what you should be, look at your immune system and see if you're having any kind of a problem with the environment, because you have, the immune system is the first forerunner or indicator of the human body, and that's what you're dealing with, not the spirit at this point. We're just talking about, where do you want to park your body? I would imagine that's what your question is all about.
Well, no, it's regarding the earth changes.
Right, I understand.
Yeah.
The immune system is tuned to all of that, and so if you're having a problem with allergies, you need to move. You need to go to where the air is better, you know?
No, I don't have a problem with allergies. It's just I would like to be someplace where the government is not going to have as much influence in the coming years. I'm older than you.
The government, and I'm not saying that you have a problem with your allergies, I'm just giving you your immune system as your indicator, okay? So if you're in perfect health and you never get a cold once a year or even at all, then you don't have to listen to your immune system, and your energy is perfect and you don't sneeze or anything, that's fine. Then you don't have to worry about that. Secondly, as far as where the government has influence on the entire planet. It really doesn't matter where you go. If you want a place where they have the least amount of enforcement of influence, you know, number one would be some of these jungle countries way in the back roads of Peru. But if isolation is not what you want, then you want to stay in the continental United States. Then there are states that are more free-thinking, and the enforcement of the federal laws by the state governments or bodies is quite a bit less. So those are states like Montana, and Nevada is pretty good that way. Oregon is starting to get a little bit weird up there. Washington's been pretty mellow. But more or less the western states, Arkansas has been pretty good, too. The far east and far western, I mean, California is terrible. Arizona's pretty laid back. So you got to find a state that's, you know, environmentally going to agree with you and then move there. Then once you get into that state, then you need to figure out what the local governments are about and find what city you want to go to. And usually in Montana, you can go about anywhere. Idaho, Sandpoint is a good place for a lot of people. That's a pretty liberal area in Idaho. So there's little, and Sedona is good for Arizona. I mean, there's little places around that you can go, and all of those places are relatively stable earthquake-wise. Probably the most secure area for earthquakes in the whole United States would be the state of Arkansas. And the reason I say that is because the Tibetans, who I've always considered my mentors on, you know, future things and future interests, have always said that the closest thing in America to Tibet is Arkansas. And Tibet doesn't have earthquakes and storms and hurricanes. It's a little cool there, but it's pretty overall stable. Okay?
Yes. Thank you. Now, regarding your seminar that you're having in Laguna Beach.
Right.
I guess my question is, do you have any themes for this seminar that you're having?
Do I have what?
Are there themes? Do you have a projected targeted audience that you're looking for?
No, not at all. We like everybody to come. I get every kind of person from every walk of life at my seminars. It doesn't matter what you do or where you're from.
Uh-huh.
And it's really neat to have a mix like that because usually people have good hearts and open minds. That's about the only requirement that I would say that you really need. It doesn't matter how smart or dumb you are or how enlightened or unenlightened you are, because common denominator is the feeling that we get from the seminars. And when people come up here and get in this vortex, and this has now become a stargate, it seems like everybody gets something out of it. So I got the regular group that comes every year, and then always we're picking up new people all the time. So it's pretty neat. Seminars are fun. I only do one a year.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Any specific place in Arkansas?
No. The whole state's pretty nice. It's if you like a lot of crystal energy, get down towards the southern part, Hot Springs. Fortunately, the whole state is growing. And if you want solace, go to the Ozarks in the northern part. But the southern part of Arkansas is getting more commercial every day. It's not quite as free as it used to be. And Little Rock, I've never really cared that much for it. It's a lot safer there. It got to be a little out of control for a while. But I usually tell people north or south of Little Rock is pretty good.
Thank you so much, and I thank Don for his courage and the excellent programming. There's nothing to listen to here on the East Coast.
How are you listening to us now, on the computer?
On the Internet.
Okay, yeah, because we're starting to get above the ground stations, and we're looking at some satellite stations, too. So this is growing, and so just keep tuned.
Well,
Don has plans to start posting the AM and FM stations that are starting to carry. We're sort of like Coast Radio was when it first started, and we're starting to get... The character of our information seems to be affecting a lot of personalities in such a way that we're becoming a bit addictive, which is good. I'm getting so many feedbacks now I can't even post them all, you know. Which in the beginning I only had 13 listeners, so I think I had a dozen, and it's growing. I mean, literally, that's what I had, and I think I've been doing the show since August, and I know I've got at least 40 or 50 listeners now that I know of.
Well,
and then they've got 40 or 50.
I have more than 100 people. I'm a Quaker, and American Friends Service Committee, everybody listens to you back here, so I know in Philadelphia you have several hundred people listening to you, so I think it's more than 40.
Well, that's good to know. That's how I learn, is feedback, you know. I mean, you're giving me some feedback now, and you listeners out there, we will post this feedback. I don't care if I've got 40 pages. I don't think Don cares either. It gives us a feeling. The feedback is really important. It tells us whether we're screwing up by the numbers or we're actually touching a nerve and a heart, you know. And that's why Don and I are both very passionate about this, and pretty much most of the people that he's got on there doing radio shows are pretty passionate. I've worked, for example, for a lot of years with Len Horowitz, and he lives by what he does with his books and his writings about disease control and all of that. So there's some pretty passionate lady that was just on. I mean, I know the little history of her, the show they just had. It was amazing. She's had a pretty incredible history. If you look at her website up, she's been through some hard times. She paid dearly for the price of wisdom like some of us have. So I think there's a lot of wisdom here, probably several thousand years of wisdom here in the combination of all the people that we're bringing to this this network. You know, so thanks very much for calling in.
Thank you so much for giving us an out here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless.
What a wonderful lady.
Yeah, you know, that's the kind of feedback. I officially now know I have more than 40 listeners. That's good to know. And I like that kind of feedback. So now, you had a question tonight, right, about you were going to ask me some questions. Basically, those of you who are listening out there, this is Ambush Dr. Fred night. I'll take questions along the lines of technology versus consciousness and spirituality. Just ambush me. I like the ambush feeling. So do you have any questions so I can defend myself? Or?
Sure. Here's a good question.
Okay.
Many channeled people out there or channeled material out there basically states, whether correctly or incorrectly or whatever, that technology, when used for spiritual growth, comes from negative entities.
Right. Okay, let's look at that for an example. Okay, and I'm just going to go back a little bit. Okay, what would your, and I'm going to ask you a question now, what would your source of technology be? In other words, if we were looking at technology, and that could be a historical statement, okay, it wouldn't be today, it could be forever, what would we call the first form of technology that people used to raise consciousness or change their environment or their surroundings or their beingness, you know? What the very first forms and when they were used and what it was?
Do I know?
Yeah.
I'm clueless.
Okay. You've heard the term amulet, right? Amulets are what people originally used, okay, to protect themselves. And going back to the caveman even, they used bones, they used wood. And in these old civilizations thought, you know, even back then, that there were forces of good and evil. And so they had prayers, they had offerings, they had sacrifices. They were all, you know, for good spirits to grant blessings, which I think we still do today. And the first amulet that comes to my mind is the cross. Now, how many people out there that make that statement would or would not wear a little cross around them at some point, or have not, or have in their family someone not wearing a cross? That would be my first question. And would you consider the cross evil? Because that is something that's pretty universal. Now, is that a universal tool that's evil? What do you think, Don? What's your gut feeling on the cross?
Well, my gut feeling is it depends on the person.
Exactly. Now, there are hex crosses, there are inverted crosses, and energy follows thought. So basically, a cross becomes a thought form in many, many minds. So it becomes like a key to reach a bank of energy, where you can go and you can sort out whether there's good and bad, because for energy to exist, there has to be positive and negative energy. It's not really the energy that's good or bad, it's how you use it, just like you said. It's how you use it. And so the cross has been used for many good things and many bad things, but it definitely has an energy to it. For example, in my book, my first book, Death of Ignorance, this Reverend Earlsley in England, used the cross. First they did a carillion and a what's called a roof down camera photograph of the matrix of water, the molecules of water, the lattice structure of water. When they blessed the water, they just blessed it, when the Earl blessed it, this is in my book, the pictures are in there, immediately when they photographed the energies of the water, it formed crosses, little crosses. Very much like a metal that we use in our Pyridine products called titanium. It molecularly looks like blessed water, only the density factor is much higher. So now we come right into shape energy. Shape energy immediately has to do with energy. For example, if you look at the pyramid, and we were talking about that before the show, the pyramid is the carbon atom in the body. The pyramid is the iron atom in the body. Now, if the pyramid, which has a basic ratio of its apex being 5% shorter than its base ratio, In other words, the sides measured from the tip to the corner are 5% shorter than from corner to corner. That is called a divine apportion, okay, or proportion. Divine is divine, okay? That's usually, divinity is usually a something to do with harmony. Okay, now, when you look at a attack on the red blood cell, okay, it goes shape and becomes a sickle cell, and therefore it becomes anemic, and the blood can no longer transmit properly in the body. So it's a warped contortion, the original shape of the pyramid itself.
I'm sorry about that. I guess we forgot to turn off call waiting, and we've got a groupie of yours online with you. I just put her on without telling you. I thought I'd excite you.
Okay. Yeah.
Good evening, Dr. Bell.
Hi. Who's this?
This is your friend in the Tennessee Smoky Mountains.
Oh, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
So how's my groupie doing tonight?
Hmm?
Yeah, so what kind of a question do you have?
Well, I want to know what your opinion is about this new information coming out that the scientists are now saying, based on some of their experimentation they're doing in the last whatever, that the gravity of Earth,
right,
is basically just a lot of magnetism.
No, it's a lot of magnetism.
That's what they're saying.
Well, they can say whatever they want. Okay. Gravity is attraction of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gravity is.
Even what holds the Earth together, right?
Yeah, consciousness holds the Earth together. That's exactly right. And the actual particle that does that is called a lepton by science.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's saying magnetism is completely not with my book, even on the science journal. I mean, they're not even on a scale of 10, they aren't even on the scale.
There's some scientists out of somewhere in Europe that
are
talking about this now.
And
they're all excited.
Yeah. Well, magnetism will excite anyone if there's enough of it. It becomes harmful.
And my one other question for you, too, is are you familiar with a Dr. Wolf?
No.
Who
I mean,
was...
He was
part of MJ-12?
No, I don't know. I don't remember a Dr. Wolf from Majestic 12 at all.
Michael Wolf.
No.
There's quite an article on Dr. Richard Boylan's website about him.
Hmm. No.
He's passed away now, but he wrote the book, it's not Millennium Hospitality, it's, I can't think of it right now. A really great book about something through my eyes or something like that. But he talks about the ETs and all the technology that they have, and that he would like to see some of these, the cabal that wants to control. They don't want to let all this technology out to, you know, the human race, because that's all their money.
Now,
and
we have our own technology that enlightens people. That's what we're doing our show on tonight, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's been given to us by the extraterrestrials.
Right.
We have things. We have many, many devices that we have developed over the years that produce profound effects. And in my seminars, we demonstrate. People are just absolutely blown away by the effects of what they do.
So now, if these same effects for this technology that you've been given, if it affects the human body, can it not also affect planet Earth to start a healing process for her too?
We set up quad systems. One of the reasons there's no earthquakes right now in California is because we've got quad systems set up out here that absolutely stop them.
Balancing things back out, huh?
Yeah, and the last one that we had, we knew it was a pretty large magnitude. It was an 8, but nobody got killed. It was done early in the morning at 4 o'clock, just to reset the quakes. And I had even called friends of mine 2 hours, 3 hours earlier, telling them that we're going to have a major adjustment that night.
Uh-huh.
Not to be afraid of. It did take a couple freeway overpasses down, but nobody actually got killed or really basically even hurt. But
what
was
this?
Done by the Andromedans through these. Grids and the vortex that we're working with now.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite intriguing and interesting.
How to use it? And then, of course, you can go into your personal environment. Do some amazing work too with the quad system.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 weeks ago, we filmed. The producer came down to film a show. It's called Martin Sargent Web Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin's a Conan O'Brien type. He actually is one of those Hollywood types, and I call him Conan O'Brien on steroids. And he came here, and you know, we started out. He came to visit the Vortex because I was doing a show with him over a year ago on G4 Tech TV called Unscrewed.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot of fun. And that had gotten canceled by Paul Allen, who's one of the Microsoft owners. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they regrouped and they came down here and they filmed the second episode for a pilot. And Martin, you know, I brought Ken Norton on his show before, the boxer, and other celebrities wearing the pyramid, I mean, not wearing the pyramids, but wearing the receptor.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd seen demonstrations of them breathing glue and poisons and how they got stronger or weaker, depending on whether they had the receptor on or not.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got into the Stargate and we actually fired it, now the Stargate, you never know here when it's gonna, whether it's going to work. You got to have somewhat of a Jupiter effect, meaning its planetary alignments are very helpful, and the energy has to. And I had a film crew in here, and that can slow down and block the energy. And Marty's a very high guy, but you know, he's not, his body isn't perfect. You know, he's not really heavily polluted, but he's a young guy, and he could eat better and he could do a lot of things better. But he doesn't
right.
show any wear from it. And so I wasn't sure if he was going to go into the Stargate when we opened it or not. In fact, I didn't even know if it was going to open that night with all these strange people here. But it did, and he went in, and he went out for about 10 minutes. And, I mean, he just went down. He completely hit the floor and went into a meditation pose and just left his body. He didn't even do that. He just suddenly figured out how this is what's supposed to be done all by himself.
Wow.
So we had a very positive thing, which will go on nationwide TV here, hopefully fairly soon. So it happened. And he wasn't
wow.
faking it. This guy, he's a very skeptical interviewer. And even though we're friends, he would not fake anything. Matter of fact, Don's even talked to producer Paul. And these guys are no kidding around. They do it. They do this for real, you know, and they visit websites and people that are different, that are making claims and stuff and way out in different regions, and they're bringing that onto television. So, really
did he share the experience with you of where he was, what all happened to him when he went into the Stargate?
Yeah, he did. He went up, through interdimensionally, and he got up into somewhere out in space. I don't quite know where he went in space.
Wow.
He doesn't quite know where either. He's never been there. He's tried drugs and other things in the past. He wasn't on anything when he was here, obviously, and hasn't for quite some time. But
yeah.
The younger days, he says he went beyond anything he'd ever experienced on any drugs when he was a kid ever.
Wow.
And he said he liked it a lot. And
mm-hmm.
he said he was dancing out there, and he felt the presence. He said he felt the presence of maybe Andromedans or extraterrestrials.
Uh-huh.
But he couldn't see him. And the reason I figured that he couldn't see him is because the feelings in his body were firing fast enough. But had he been using one of my systems, you know, on a regular basis for a long
uh-huh.
period of time, his synapses would have been developed in his brain so he could see and not only feel what he was experiencing.
Uh-huh.
He was having a vision, but it wasn't of anything in focus. You know?
Wow.
And it lasted about 10 or 15 minutes. His producer, Paul, couldn't believe it. You know, they filmed this. This is him going out and the whole thing and going into these modes of meditation and these asana, these yoga positions that he's never done before.
Well, do you think that piece of film will ever see the light of day for
oh, yeah.
the public?
Yeah, it'll see light of day.
Good.
It's on the way. You better believe it.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
So we can change people's minds and make them open up to their true potential and who they really are.
Yeah, well, Martin's definitely got a new view on life.
I'll bet he did.
And he's a great friend, too, but I mean, if you ever watched Conan O'Brien, he's very much like him. He's a
yeah.
guy like him and very similar and does a similar show. And so he would definitely make humor of something he doesn't understand, and he got real serious. I had to humor the thing up a little bit. We went from a light, comical thing for all afternoon, because it takes all day to shoot 10-20 minutes, you know. And
I'm sure he probably scared for a minute.
There. We have this one device that opens up into a tunnel of light, and if the energy is right, it turns into a vortex, and it just sucks you right into it.
Wow.
I've set it up in my seminars in the audiences, and I've had people fall out of their chairs when the energy goes on. Just literally
Whoa.
Fall out of their chair. It's so powerful. Yeah, we've got some stuff here, some toys here that really kick. When you look at our website at Veridyne.com, you'll see a lot of the, you'll see the MicroStar.
Yeah.
And you'll see in my living room those pictures of black holes and space-time singularities or MicroStar, kind of a miniature version.
Yes,
and we were getting
that.
Ready to film those. We were setting up to film those because those film really well on digital cameras.
Oh.
But the vortex opened instead, which was much better because how he
oh,
went.
Oh, yeah.
Well, after that, he didn't even care about filming the other stuff. He had the experience. It didn't; those things didn't matter anymore.
I'm sure they didn't.
That's why he
Man, that is just awesome.
Left.
Yeah. Well, you keep up the good work, dear.
Yeah,
I'm so excited that you guys are doing this. This is absolutely the opportunity.
It's all Don's fault. I had nothing to do with it. He talked me into this. I wasn't going to do all that. He got me doing three shows. We're going to do.
But it's
show.
All of you together, like this big network family, that is going to see the light of day for people.
Right.
And this is catching on really fast.
Yeah, well, you know, we got the negative. It has to, by divine law, catch on really fast because you've got CNN, MSNBC, ABC, all these other big networks out there that pretty much energy follows thought. They make their money. Their advertisers all
mm-hmm.
negative
mm-hmm.
input. How many... On CNN, out of 10 or 15 different sets of news articles, issues in the day, you see a positive. Maybe one out of 50, if you're lucky, on any of them.
Yeah, it's designed that way.
Yeah, it is. And then, of course, everything that's advertised, it's all controlled by the oil industry.
Keep the spirit down.
Exactly.
If the spirit's down, then the body attracts sickness.
We're utilizing that. They can get as powerful as they want now. The more negative they get, the easier it is for us to get positive.
Yeah.
And we don't even have to make an effort to do that. Only we can ride on their negativity and just transform it, and that's what we're doing.
What I'm doing now
is I'm coming on, people out there listening, I'm going to have an 11 o'clock show every night.
Wow.
And it's going to be a little bit live, but mostly it's going to be a very much archived show of about 30 years of some of the most incredible stuff you've ever heard.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it's you'll see in some of the predictions that I did back in the 70s, some of it goes clear back to the 70s, some of my predictions when I was at the National Health Federation, totally dead on today. And I also in these archives will cover nutrition like you've never heard it before, incredibly step by step by step, you know. So there'll be a lot of information that's so incremental because on these shows we shoot from the hip a little bit and we want to be spontaneous to the listeners. But here it'll be like an education. And it'll all be archived, and
it'll all be labeled,
so it will eventually be probably packaged into something after we got a couple hundred hours and it's worth packaging. But it's getting out there, and it's
Did
free.
I hear you say correctly, Dr. Bell, from the Galactic Federation, that you got a lot of this information?
Well, you know, to me, I don't know, I don't really have like a Galactic Federation. What I have is individual contact with individual groups that identify themselves physically, not just if I can't see a ship from time to time and have friends also see them more than once, then I don't consider any credibility to it. I'm pretty much a grounded person that way. So
yes.
Every bit of information comes from a source that I have personally had contact with physically and mentally and spiritually.
Are you like the Missourian Show Me State?
Yeah, well, I lived there in St. Joe for a while. I think it rubbed off on me.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of Stuartsville, Arkansas, on my my history charts there, where I had my first, it wasn't an out-of-body experience, it was a teleportation. I teleported out of that house. It's showing there. It's an old house, really interesting. It's had 14 rooms in it, up to Buffalo, New York. And I landed on the corner of Dorchester and Claremont Avenue when I was 9 years old. So... And when I got back, my feet were dirty because I went barefoot in my pajamas. And that was, but you know, that was a pretty heavy experience.
You're kidding.
That was right out of Missouri, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It wasn't astral travel. It was the real deal.
That was the real deal.
Yeah, and I remember standing on the corner there by one of those things you hit, knock a window out to make a fire extinguisher or a fire alarm go off.
Uh-huh.
I remember standing there looking at that damn thing, wondering how I was going to get back. I wasn't dreaming. I was standing there, you know. It was the weirdest darn thing ever, you know. It was no dream. And I walked down to a couple of houses where friends of mine lived, but it was 3 o'clock in the morning, so I couldn't wake anybody up or ring a doorbell.
Oh, my goodness.
I walked around for a little while. It was getting pretty cold, and then I got up there and said, I'm going to get back. And then, boom, I was back in my room on the stuff to the ceiling, and then I fell off the ceiling into the bed. I was all dirty.
Well, at least you fell into the bed.
Yeah, I fell landed on the bed. That was real interesting.
And tell her also about that red and blue striped costume you use with the pink.
That's a good one. The big.
The what?
My Superman outfit, you know.
Oh, your Superman outfit?
I'm joking.
Did you have kryptonite too?
Yeah. I like kryptonite. When in a nuclear reaction of discharging thorium, creating an atomic bomb, the first byproduct is kryptonite, krypton.
There really is such a thing as kryptonite?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the second stage of an atomic reaction, krypton.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And it's a bright-looking green substance, and it's formed in craters where bombs go off. Yeah.
So a lot of this stuff that we have that comes out through Hollywood, a lot of it is not so much myth, but actually a lot of truthisms to it.
Well, I'll tell you, I started another radio show, which I'm somewhat involved with. It's called Worldwide Recovery Radio for addicts and people that are alcoholics and need help.
Uh-huh.
So I work with those kind of people, and I work with mentally impaired as part of my volunteer work. And one of the guys I did a show with was a recovering alcoholic drug addict, and he's the guy that starred in Superman 2 and 3 and 1, and he played the big bad guy in the black outfit that was whipping Superman's butt around.
Oh, yeah.
That guy, he's a huge guy. Used to be a boxer, and so he and I had some great chats doing shows together, you know. And he was the anti-Superman guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's sober today, a great guy. So it's funny how it all works.
It really is, isn't it?
And the other thing is funny is that Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, is a friend of mine and his family, and back years ago I tested him for the receptor. You know, we have them breathe glue, and then they test weak, and then they put their scepter on, breathe this toxic glue, and they become strong again. Now, Muhammad, he wouldn't buy a receptor, but he made his family all get him. His brother Joe had to get one, and everybody there in the family has to have the receptor. And his daughter, who's a boxer now, grew up wearing one around her neck.
Yeah, I remember that about her. You know, she started boxing, doing pretty good, I think, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, Muhammad, he said Muhammad is all he needed, but he did test strong with a receptor. And then
mm-hmm.
the funny part of it is, the guy that beat him, the first guy that ever beat him, was Ken Norton.
Right.
Ken Norton is on my website wearing my receptor. He uses my stuff. He did the television shows with me last year on Unscrewed, and
mm-hmm.
Ken Norton won't take his receptor off. So all the boxers love this stuff. You know,
wow.
they just love it. They're so sensitive to it. You know, I had a guy the other night here who's a police officer friend of mine come the other night, younger guy, he's a boxer, used to be.
Uh-huh.
He was brand new to this, and he got in the house, he got in that vortex, and he says, Dr. Bell, I never would have believed this stuff was so true. You know, in my work, I have to get one of these receptors. This is amazing, because,
uh-huh.
you know, the type of work he does is around negative energy all the time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's a very active cop, so.
Yeah.
Very active, so I mean.
He goes into places where most of us run from.
Exactly, and that's what this guy does. He gets down and dirty in the street. He's plain clothes. So
I thank them for their service, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's got to go where nobody else goes. So
yeah.
It's pretty amazing how this, when that talk I did the other night on Roy Kitchen, who bought one of my systems, changed his consciousness, changed his whole life.
Wow.
When he started using one of our quad systems. It's amazing.
When you were talking just a minute ago about this program you're going to start doing at 11 o'clock in the evenings every night,
yeah.
is that Pacific time or is that going to be Central time?
That's Pacific. I don't know, Don. What time is that anyway? What time is it?
That's actually going to be 11 p.m. Central, so 9 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, 9 Pacific. So
which
would be
midnight Eastern time.
It'll be 8 o'clock your time, I guess, huh?
I'm Central time.
Yeah. I'm going to do it till I use up this archive stuff, and then we'll
probably
be.
I look forward to
anyway.
That. That should be some really interesting information.
Yeah, you're going to like it. When I go through those tapes, I spent 20 years with the National Health Federation.
Wow.
I listen to stuff, and I say I remember stuff that I've forgotten about that I really need to go back and listen to anyway. That's why I'm doing it. If I can learn from my own work, my work has always been research. I just don't go up quoting facts without having given them.
Yeah.
One of the greatest, most powerful works I was ever involved with was called the Global 2000 Report. And I worked on that during the Carter administration, and that was put together by 19 federal agencies, everybody from the CIA down to the Atomic of, you know, the Department of Public Works, and everything in between, and 44 different countries. And it had all the predictions in it, in, about the continents and the air and the jet trails and all that stuff, and the ozone layer being a problem caused by aircraft, not Freon cans. All that was in there. We put it in the five major cities. There's a thing called Government Printing Office Bookstores. And anybody in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, I think there's one in Miami and one other somewhere else. Go in and look it up. Government Printing Office Bookstore. It's the most amazing source of information. Beautiful volumes, handsomely bound, beautiful color, especially the NASA stuff, and not too expensive. And you can copy it all because it's public, it's free domain. You can copy anything and share anything. And they, I don't know how many hundred thousands or maybe millions of copies of the Global 2000 was in four volumes. I sold every single one the government printed, one of them.
Could you give us maybe a brief synopsis of what was in that report as in reference to global warming?
Yeah, that was in there. I will, and my tapes. You got to listen to my tapes. I'm not going to cover that subject tonight, but I've got it more than a brief. It goes into ice flows, flooding of coastal cities. It's right on the timeline that was in there too.
It is, isn't it?
And this came out during Reagan's time. And,
yeah, that was the 80s.
Yeah. As well, we did it. We came out. It was officially released in 1981. September.
Oh, that was the year that Reagan the assassination attempt on him.
Yeah, that's when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And the first government printing office bookstore to carry it was right up there by the Bonaventure Hotel.
Wow.
Right where, about where he was getting shot. So
yeah.
It was real interesting. I've got a copy of it here, but they're pretty hard to get hold of. They're classics. Now, there have been, though, if you go to Amazon and type in Global 2000 Report to the President, there's a lot of companies that have printed books that sell that have very accurate synopses of that particular report. So
you said Global 2000?
Yeah, quite available. It's a shocker. Yeah.
Wow.
That's where you'll get you want some facts. This is facts. You know?
Do you say it's Global 2000?
Global 2000 Report to the President. It was done back in 1980 originally, and it was a 20-year projection. We're 6 years past it now, and it is dead on. It wasn't a conservative, politically motivated or oriented or skewed.
No politics played.
Straight ahead. It was all accurate. That's why I got behind it.
And you feel we're pretty much on the timeline.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Maybe
we're on the time. We're
over
up now. That's why it's time to, we have to get rid of, there's a huge amount of negative technology out there right now.
Oh, big time.
But put on by the government to cause people not their bodies not to function, to make them scared, make them do drugs like, prescription drugs. That are MOA inhibitors, all that stuff. There's tons and tons of pieces of equipment out there. And I don't care how spiritual or powerful you are, if you don't have some defense for it, you're going down.
Oh, yeah.
And most people are going down.
But because it's not just happenstance. That's by design that they want it that way.
By design. And like I was talking to, we were talking about here, I was going into the history of amulets. You've got the Egyptian amulet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amulets that they wore for Isis and Thoth and all of those things, there's the solar disks, they had the scarab, which was really big. Remember the scarab? That was really big. The frog. All these things symbolized something to the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Egyptian government that put scarabs. As a matter of fact, King Tut had all this stuff in solid gold in his tomb. Tremendous power. You don't spend half your country's wealth making amulets for your royal family. Energy of them.
But that doesn't mean we have to get rid of our Viagra, does it?
Oh, no. Viagra is the only thing that's good. Everything else is bad. And even aspirin is bad.
I love you, Dr. Bell. You kill me.
Matter of fact, we got a new Viagra coming out that lasts longer.
Oh, no. Well, listen.
But I got to tell you something now. Those of you that are Viagra freaks, if you wear a pyramid on your head or have sex in a pyramid,
I'm not.
Your Viagra back about two-thirds, or you're going to have problems. You're going to have to be one of those people who have to go to the hospital to get treated.
Yeah. Oh, treated for what?
Problem. You won't, your body won't shut down.
Oh, well, I won't have that problem. I'm a celibate, have been for 3 years, so we won't worry about that.
Okay. Well, you might have a divine birth then.
I hope not.
You might
have a divine birth.
Yeah.
That might be a little too much shock for my system. You have a good evening, Doug.
All right, thanks. Keep it cool down there in the Smokies.
Okay, dear. I'm holding the light, you know?
Okay,
okay, bye.
Bye. Now, you know the Hebrews, you know, Don, had amulets too. You know, they have a thing called a mezuzah, which is, they put it over the entrance of the house. The Jewish people put that over the entrance to their house to give you a charge. Our comeback for that at Paradigm is called an ion shower. You know what an ion shower does for you? It's a technical device. It does something for your body. You want to hear about that?
Absolutely.
Okay, what it is, here's what happens, okay? When you breathe oxygen, I mean, when you go out in the morning and breathe carbon monoxide from a car or anything driving around, at night you've been in your house, your body is used to that level of cleanliness in your bedroom, and that's as good as it's going to get for you, whichever you got your ionizer on, whatever you're doing for your purification. It's obviously better than anywhere else. As soon as you leave that environment and you get up and you go outside, and you might be in a great creative, might be an artist or a songwriter or something like that, as soon as you go out...
Got another call in. I'm just going to put her online with you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Virginia Miller.
Oh, very good. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the greater Detroit area.
Well,
near Ann Arbor.
I'm from Ann Arbor.
Great.
Yeah. A home girl.
Am I really talking to Dr. Bell?
Let me see. Dr. Bell? Yeah. Me, myself, and I. Three of us.
Oh,
tonight.
Great.
Yeah. All three of us are here.
Okay. I'm also the photographer, and we've talked before.
Yeah.
About getting some of the equipment that you have.
Oh, good.
But I have some really neat questions that have really baffled me, and nobody seems to have the answer. And I'll just kind of give them to you as a group, and then maybe you can separate them and figure it out.
So this is what you call a group ambush.
Well, it's called group. Yes, first class.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, I've had out-of-body experiences, I've had near-death experiences, and I've had it actually when my body actually kind of died, and they had to bring me back.
Now, who is they?
When was that? I've had about three.
So who is
three
they?
Beg your pardon?
They, the term T-H-E-Y, they. Who brought you back?
The one time it was done very uniquely in a spiritual way. It was, they did CPR on a spiritual level, which
yeah.
was, I was out floating around watching it.
Right.
And my heart had actually stopped. And when I really did come back into my body and it got started, because I'd been a nurse all night.
Right.
And when I came back and I knew something had happened and I was able to process it, but the person which was turned out to be part of my soulmate group, and he knew about it and he was miles away. And he came as I was floating out the leaf, you know,
right.
for good, and stopped me and made me down out in the woods to come down and give me CPR.
Okay, so
and
you
it
did
was,
have to get CPR.
I'm not, beg your pardon?
You did have to get CPR at one point.
Okay.
You did. I'm saying you had to have it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
When you had CPR... Do you remember the experience exactly as you were having it?
Right. He was.
Where were you exactly? Where? Not in the woods, but your body. Where'd you go?
I went out into the woods. I left my body, left the apartment that I was living in.
You physically walked out into the woods? Or did you end up staying in your apartment and you projected out to the woods? That's my question.
Well, that's hard to say because I was pretty wiped out after it. I mean, it.
But you don't know whether you walked out or you projected out.
I have a feeling I projected out.
Okay.
It's I mean, I flew out, I guess is what I'd say. I left my body, took my soul.
Yeah.
But yet when I was floating around, I looked down, and there was a physical body down there.
Right, I understand.
So I don't really fully understand it, but it was extremely interesting. The other thing, and I don't understand the difference between out-of-body experience or a near-death experience, and is that the same?
It could be. It depends on the interpreter. It's not always the same. It's probably not the same for anybody. So there is no definition of the same.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, but go ahead. Forget that. Just keep going. I'm adding all this ambush up here. Yeah.
All right. There was some changes that went on in my body. And I'm wondering, does this, when there's a like a real change, and does a different soul or a different energy come in?
Question. I understand. Now, next question. What do you do? What kind of work do you do?
I was a registered nurse at the time.
So you've been doing healing for a lot of people, helping people.
Right.
What was your specialty?
Well, at that time, I was doing hospice work.
Okay, so there you go. Okay,
I was around dead people. I mean, people that were getting ready to make their transition.
Yeah, exactly. So you got a lot of that energy going. Okay, the second thing is, the third thing is, what kind of dreams did you have? Do you remember your kids, your childhood dreams at all? Anything unusual?
No. I remember the one time I was in a very serious auto accident with a double semi, and both of the trailers dumped on me. One dumped under all around my car, and the second trailer dumped on top of me.
That was in a dream.
No, this was real.
Okay,
no, I was in the car, and the truck, and it was he lost control of his truck and just started dumping this big river rock. This is out in Oregon. I was out there for a while. Just ruined the car, needless ruined me. And when the second trailer's rocks came down on top of me, I mean, all the glass went. And this is real. I mean, this physically happened. And I just spontaneously said, oh, God, I don't want to be a pancake.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Angels, you drive. And I left, totally left. And when I came back in my body, they had driven the car down somewhere. The engine was still running. And I left, and I heard somebody calling me. And it was the man that was behind me that literally got under the truck, and they just about wiped him out. And he was calling for me to help. So when I got there, his
heart
was...
He got out of your car and went back.
Yeah. I just left when I said, I'm leaving. Angels, you drive. I left. But here it was the energy from the man behind me that had really got really destroyed with the big semi running over him.
He ended up in the hospital?
Oh, well, he
died.
Was like we both died at the same time, you know, pretty much. It was like we both left.
Yeah.
And when I got there...
But you didn't have physical injuries, right?
Beg your pardon?
Did you have physical injury?
Yes.
Okay.
I had a whiplash, concussion, and glass that I'm still pulling out of my face and head and hair and the top part of my skin. And that was in 96.
Yeah, you got all those micrograins.
Yeah, it's
what kind
still...
So you walked away from it. Did you end up in the hospital for a while?
Yeah, but they...
Let you out?
Because I kind of...
Yeah,
ended up kind of healing myself, you know.
Yeah, I understand. What about him?
This is what the interesting part was, that it took me a while to be able to process what was real and what was going on. He was
that.
Hurt
what
so bad.
Was
he
it,
was
he
hurt
stay
so
in the
bad.
Hospital?
Beg your pardon?
Did he stay in the hospital?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay.
I mean, he was...
I just that tells me... Okay,
he was,
so then now...
They had to bring in, what do you call it, a helicopter in.
Okay, yeah.
And lift him from... up to Portland, which was 250 miles away. He was more dead than alive.
Yeah, what sign are you? What's your birth sign?
I'm a Gemini.
Gemini, okay.
June the 7th.
Yeah.
It's my twin, you know.
So now are you having any different kind? What kind of dreams are you having in the last year or two?
You know, I really very seldom have a dream.
Okay, you're not dreaming.
No, I'm not really dreaming. I do a lot of meditation. I communicate, you know, on a mental, what do you call it? Spiritual.
What do you communicate with?
I ask my higher self to go and learn and teach and be, and so it's just interesting. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. But I wanted to share something that was very interesting with this young man that was in the accident. I mean, he was just literally almost destroyed. He asked me to hold his heart.
Right.
And when I got there, his heart was hanging out and on top of his chest.
Right. He got separated, right?
Yeah, and I thought, well, you know, I'm dreaming. You know, this really, I had just never seen somebody's heart just laying out there on his chest.
Like a battlefield accident.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just kept it to myself, and I thought nobody will ever believe that I left my body, went out, and helped this young man, and then was brought back into my car, and it was down the road a half a mile.
And when you saw him physically, how bad was he? Was he that badly damaged or not?
Well, I never got to really see him, and I decided I'd keep this little story quiet until I got to meet the guy, and he did live, and there was a lot of prayer, and he had his miracle, but everything was just broken. Everything was a mess.
Okay, was he lacerated, or was that just in your vision?
Oh, no. Everything was just as I could, saw it.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay.
And so when I got to meet him, also he was the same age as my daughter that was 37, and she died in 10 months, and he lived. Which
right.
was very interesting, and they both had near death. Hers was cancer, but his, and he was basically dead, and they brought him back, or I was able to help part of it.
I have another question for you now. Do you ever flash on past lives at all, or have you ever done any regression?
I know I've had many lifetimes.
Okay. You know, and you feel comfortable with that knowledge.
Beg your pardon?
You feel comfortable with that knowledge.
It took me a while, but yes, So I grew up in a very strict, fundamental family.
Right.
And this was not acceptable. You have one life, and that's it.
Okay, now looking into the future, what do you see for your future and future lives? What do you see?
I feel like I've had almost five lifetimes this lifetime. There's just been so many things that I have kind of started and completed, and then something else happens, and I move into that. And I really need to, and I've taken the class in hypnotherapy.
Right.
Done a little bit of it. I do a lot of it on myself.
I think I can give you a little conjecture on what's going on. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
I'll ask you all these questions to get an analysis. Now, I
yes.
will answer all your questions. Do you want me to?
I'd love to.
Okay, here's what I see is happening. We are rotating around the Pleiades, okay? It takes 26,827.5 years.
Okay.
In your body is a carbon atom. It's your atom of consciousness that aligns your three gases, you know, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
As we move around this, and this is also symbolized in the Great Pyramid, as we move around this precession of the equinox, our consciousness moves up the ramp of the pyramid at 52 degrees towards the point. At one
right.
point, pretty soon, it's at the point itself. You follow me? It's
okay.
like the reset button is at the peak of the pyramid. That's why the capstone is not on the pyramid right now.
Oh,
the capstone
okay.
is divine consciousness, the divine appointment. That's how the pyramid is being opened. But in that prophecy of the pyramid being opened by divine appointment, it doesn't mean somebody's going to go in. What it does mean is people will go in, find chambers, but they'll be able to interpret those chambers to the consciousness that's going on the planet anyway. It won't be the pyramids giving it to them. They're giving it to themselves because they're waking up to their own nature. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up to your own nature and you start, it brings you into the eternal now. you're starting to come into what's called the eternal now.
Okay.
There's no longer any need for future lives. And so you start living, no longer do you have a series of sequential lives. You start having a series of parallel lives. And so what happens is when you have parallel lives, the sequencing of your past lives has put out on the universe other families that are of your nature. They're of your seed from past lives.
Right. Yes, I'm communicating with them.
These other families being out there, and they are of your seed,
right,
from past lives, you're starting to experience them all at once, whether it be, and usually what happens in this world, because it comes from pain, growth starts at pain. If you started in ecstasy, you'd bliss out and you wouldn't pay attention. So they're giving you the pain first. That's the rule of the flesh. And
mm-hmm.
So you're starting to experience sequentially no longer that. You're starting to see your parallel existence. And
right.
So that's, and when that happens, that's called the art of the hologram.
Oh,
and the
really?
Consciousness is called entering the photon belt or however people perceive it. But that's just the awareness of the hologram that you are.
Okay.
And so that's why you're having all these strange things, and that's why you're having all these strange other things, but they stripped your astral energies away, and that's why you're not having dreams. That's the big giveaway here is no dreams, because there is no dreaming, there is no astral plane for you anymore. You are here on the physical, and there's part of you in many, many other lives.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what's happening. So
right.
It's not a mystery now. This is where we're going. In my new book, I write about this. This is part of my new book, The Inside Track. So you're into one of
the Inside Track? Oh, great.
Conversation.
This
that's
is your
why
new
I
one?
You to expound on all the things that you're talking about so I could show you and you could relate to what I'm saying.
Oh, this, you know, it's just been so puzzling, and I thought, I don't even know how to ask the question.
Well, you've asked the question. I've given you my how it feels for me, because I'm having the same experience.
Oh, how exciting.
And we're all coming to the same point on the pyramid as one.
Mm-hmm.
So you're bringing the wisdom of all your past lives, but in order to give you a sentimentality to it, you're still going out and gracing your past families that you've created or been part of their creation, because we all are part of one anyway. But just realize the sequential stuff's gone. We're all living it here and now.
Right.
And this is the brink of going on to immortality. And so now it won't matter how many lives, because you're all absorbed into one anyway. As
right.
Being. There'll be other beings like you that will make
correct.
You into this space of immortality. And then you can play with a hologram, and you'll bring other souls to come in. You could play God a little bit. You know, you get up in that astral energy, and people will channel your energy, and that's future times. But this is the way where it is for you right now, and I think it's really cool. Not too
oh,
many
this
people
is exciting.
Are having your experiences, but I'm sure there's a few out there that understand the insanity that's going on between us right now.
Well, you know who understands me?
Who?
It's some of the soul group, and they're already made their passing.
Yeah.
And they're supporting me.
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah, because the soul and the oversoul come as one now.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're the only one that understands.
Well, thank you.
I mean, that's down here on Earth.
Well, I'm here for that reason. I'm
oh, I'm so glad. Because my family don't understand me.
Yeah.
Nobody that's human that's around me.
Hmm? They only understand pieces of you. And they try to hold
right.
on to those pieces.
That's right.
Yeah, and they can't.
And I've just learned to just stay in the now moment and just keep moving. And I ask for guidance and just say, for my highest and best and for those that are around me, give me the words to say. And if there's nobody in my environment, then I just ask what's for my highest and best for
yeah,
my
that's
health.
All you can do, and that's being here in the moment.
And that's where the only way I can stay in this
now, what,
earth.
I want to bring technology into this just to show you something. The device that I make called a projector. It's called a projector. It opens up your body, your sensitivity, and gives you atomic physical grounding to what you're going through. It's called a projector. It's a device
projector.
That you make. It's for organizing this stuff, because what happens is your family's not helping.
Oh, no.
They're making,
no, they can't.
They are creating. They are, they're motivating, though. They're motivating you. So if they're motivating you, they pushed you into a direction where you're going to fend for yourself. At least you're not swimming. You're not in a sea of craziness, insanity. You're actually swimming, and you can see the shore now, and you can get there. And
right.
You realize, because this is what immortality is all about, and immortality is not a series of of lives that we screw up in one life and we can take a little heaven break and then work off some karma in the next to fix it. It ain't about that no more.
No.
Those days are over, you know?
No, I'm so glad you were there and had an open question and answer type time tonight.
Well, I thank you for ambushing me. I'm in the ambush business. I like the hard questions.
Oh, and well, it answers so much. In fact,
yeah,
I called
guidance
you.
Will take you to the next step now.
Yeah, well, because I called you and we talked one Saturday for about an hour about some of the of all the different things that you had that would be useful for me.
Yeah, projector technology, and you probably could use a receptor for healing. Probably an aquamarine.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, my body's been through so much that if I'm going to stay here.
So the aquamarine is probably the one you want to get, a silver gold aquamarine receptor. And then you want to get into, you need to get into the projector as soon as possible, though.
Okay.
Just talk to Mikkel at my office, you know, and she'll help you out with that stuff if you don't
remember. Yeah, I've talked to her several times. She's just
she
a super
and,
gal.
And you're going to ask her specific questions for me because I'm hard to reach, except around these shows.
Okay, yes.
All right, well, I'm able to help you today. Well, you're a little homegirl.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I was so excited.
Well,
I have your book, and you autographed the book for me.
Oh, good.
Your big 500-page book.
Oh, yeah, the telephone book.
Oh, and yes, but thank you. It had so much information in it, and I just use it like a dictionary. It's like a book I can learn from, you know, because you answered a lot of my questions.
Well, that's what I'm trying here to do. You know, I do the best I can.
Oh, well, you're doing a fabulous job. You're just super. You're the 100% individual I needed to talk to, ask questions, and understood where I've been and what's going on, because nobody seemingly could help me.
I understand.
But
it's a lonely world for people from Michigan.
It really is, but I need to share this one last thing. When I got to actually meet this young man that was in the pickup right behind me that really got smashed to pieces.
Right.
And was basically pronounced dead, and they got him gone. And I waited for 2 years to actually, before I asked him any questions, I wanted to meet him eyeball to eyeball.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, and I said, tell me where your injuries were and everything. And so he told me. And I said, did you have some heart problem or do you have some chest problem? He said, yeah, you know, I grabbed a hold of the steering wheel and I pulled it so hard to hang on when the big semi was running over me, my whole left side, he says, that the steering wheel broke and went in and opened up his chest.
Yeah, okay, got it.
And his heart was laying out there. And I said, your heart was really laying on top of your chest, really? And he said, yes.
Yeah.
And he said, why do you ask that question? And I said, well, I was the car in front, and I had what you call an out-of-body experience, and you called for me, and I came back. And you were so hurt, the only thing you wanted me to do was just to hold your heart and pray for a healing. And he said, oh, really? That was you? And I said, yeah, I think I was in spirit. I said, I'm not real sure, but I was there.
Yeah.
And he said, no, you know what I saw? I saw this beautiful angel. And it was the angel that came.
Wow. That's you.
And I said, well, thank you. I said, that was me because
that's
I was
right.
in the car in front. And
somebody took responsibility for their angel selves, isn't it, in this world?
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, no, that's totally cool. I can totally relate.
Oh, and it was just so great. And I'm finding myself in these unique, unusual places, and it's great. I just
as soon as you get your balance done with that, get that aquamarine system, get your immune system balanced, because I really feel you need to do that now.
Aquamarine.
This stuff has been kindergarten. You're going to go to college here soon, so you better get ready for it.
Oh, I need total support because right now I'm out of balance because of so many things that have happened.
Well, get a hold of Mikkel. You're going to need. I'll help put a list together of things you definitely need. You need to do it now. I wouldn't be waiting. Christmas time is a good excuse.
Oh,
Give yourself a healing present.
And like I said, I've been a registered nurse and a few other things, but right now, since of all these things have happened, I don't feel really qualified to remember all my spelling and everything.
You don't have to remember anything. All you got to do is take within the wisdom that you have now.
Right.
It always takes, you know, like one person isolated in an island somewhere is nowhere, but two or more, and I am present, you know, and just kind of use that philosophy and realize that you don't have to physically go out anymore to do the nursing work like you did.
Oh, no.
You can do it internally now and transmit that through your aura to the world healing bank, and you'll be so powerful. You need to get up on a mountain and meditate and get really clear. And really,
yes, I do.
Up, up a good, strong, powerful environment and just broadcast from it.
I got to get out of the city
or the
suburbs.
Magical. You'll automatically go magic. Everything will happen so fast. Get ready.
Yeah,
now that you're ready. You just weren't quite ready. I think this show might have helped you a little bit because now you're ready.
Yeah, and then I was given the gift of photography, and so I like to be with animals. I've learned to telepathically talk to them.
Yeah.
I was given the gift of things kind of leave out of my mind sometimes, but remote viewing.
Yeah.
It was like I haven't had any classes. It's just like it's just there for me if
yeah,
I want to use it.
With a couple of tools from us, you're going to be really wicked in a positive way.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, I'll let you go.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much, and I'll get back with.
McKelly. Yeah.
And then I'll get with you, and I need to get out of the city, and I knew that.
Well, as soon as you get your personal environment, your aura, you'll be automatically, and you call me as soon as you get out of the city, which will be very soon. You call back in and let us know where you went.
Well, I think I'm going towards maybe Oklahoma or somewhere
Arkansas
in the
good.
Center part of the
yeah.
state.
Yeah.
Although I have tons of rocks and crystals and things that I got from Arkansas from a couple that kind of, I adopted them as my Indian grandparents. But
oh,
they're
cool.
both
See,
passed
that's,
on.
That's good energy down there. That's where you should go, Papa. That's where I went when I left Ann Arbor. I went to Arkansas.
I think that's where I'm going to head for.
Well, I've been going there ever since. Every couple of years I'm down there working the crystal mines. I get down there with a shovel and a pick and mine quartz in the Coleman mine.
That's
I
great.
Love it. Get all dirty and muddy for a week.
Oh, I've got one of these big generator solid crystal,
yeah.
And I sleep with it at night every night.
Take a look at. Did you see the blog and service website and the Pyridyne website? There's a beautiful crystal on there.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah, that's a really rare one. There aren't
that's
too many of those.
Fabulous.
That's the last of the last of the clear ones.
Oh, I know. That's what you said.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
Who is ever doing your work on your webpage is
yeah.
doing a fabulous job. You're
yeah,
keeping it updated.
Yeah,
Don's doing that?
Yeah, yeah. I make Don do it. Nobody else is allowed to touch my website now. He has to do it.
Oh, wonderful. He's doing a fabulous job.
Yeah, did you hear that, Don?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, I mean fabulous. It's elegant.
Yeah.
It's professional.
I'm taking my lessons from Don.
Oh, it is awesome. I'm just, every time, I check on you every day.
Oh, good.
And you're updating it all the time.
Yeah, we are now. I have to. There's too much going on.
Well, and I'm the one that called in when your famous book got priced out at $197.
Yeah, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up. For those of you out there all around the world, Amazon.com fixed. I don't know what the problem was over there, but I talked to them last week, and they fixed it. And you can now buy the book for you know, what it's supposed to be priced at, something under $30.
Right. It was $27.
But they had it somehow or other. They screwed it up. And if anybody has a problem, tell them that Medicine Bear is out of business. That was my original publisher. And that Pyridyne is publishing it now. And the ISBN numbers we had changed. And I think they fixed the system, though. But, yeah,
well, you know what it was? It was
done for just under $200.
Yeah, it was $197. It was just
bought that.
They misplaced their decimal point.
I think so.
Yeah, because you had two for the price of one.
Yeah.
And so when they put down the $19.97, they just moved over the decimal point, and it was $197.
Yeah, that was the only books that I've ever written that sold for that are my old Death of Ignorance, the first few hundred of those. The first 444 copies sold
yeah,
for only $800 or $900. That's another story.
Yeah, when I called in, it was Mitch that answered the phone, and I've gotten to know him a little bit, and so he said, oh, my word. Oh, my word. And he couldn't believe it. And then he got on that page. He
yeah.
said, oh, right. You're right, Virginia. You're right. And I said, get it off there quick.
uh-huh.
So, oh, it's been so great talking to you, and I know we're going to be contacting, and you can help me get balance because this has just been a lot going on.
Okay, good.
Oh, God bless you.
All right, thanks.
Love you, and just, oh, this is so exciting.
I'm glad you're having fun. Tell your friends.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Most of them don't understand me, though. That's the problem.
All right, keep working on them.
Okay.
Bye.
Love you. Thank you. Bye.
Well, how's Don doing over there?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Are you?
Boy, she was a wonderful lady.
Yeah.
Now, she's the type of lady I would say to her to spend a lot of time in meditation and prayer because she can do so much good just by her own energy.
Yeah, she needs to just get a somewhere and just isolate herself and go for it. Sounds like another caller.
Fred?
Yeah.
We got wonderful Dr. Valerie Olmsted.
Okay.
I'll put her through.
All right.
Thank you. Hey, Dr. Fred.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
I'm busy. What's going on?
Yeah, you're always busy. Hey, I have a question for you.
What's that?
About the crystals. You know, Mitch is putting together my order.
Yeah, I know.
For all the projectors and all that stuff, and I've been talking with Steve. And I'm wondering, what makes a crystal a master crystal?
Okay. Well, did you listen to my show the other night on that?
I didn't hear that portion.
Okay. Hey, Don, we haven't posted that yet, right? The Master Crystal Show?
We may have. In fact, I just finished posting one of your archives. I'd have to check, but I think most of the archives, at least everything up through Monday, will be posted by tonight.
Okay. Yeah, Valerie, what, I did a show on this. I won't have time to do it now.
Okay.
A 1-hour show on what a Master Crystal is.
Okay.
But basically, basically what it is that your body, there's five seed atoms when you come out of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you take them all the way into all of your incarnations.
Mm-hmm.
And like that lady that was just on there, who is now going from the linear to the sequential, is going to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, we start incarnating. That's when the seed starts to blossom.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, it releases a certain resonant energy. It's the same energy that makes your fingerprints what they are.
Uh-huh.
And the Pleiadians use that to detect who the new incarnating souls are in their society. They don't need to look for fingerprints or anything. They
uh-huh.
know, like we do that with the Dalai Lama. We know we can find our Dalai Lamas when they come back
uh-huh.
and they disincarnate. Okay, so that's an energy, all right?
Yeah.
All right. That energy, all human events, goes into a storage place. You know what the storage place is called? Begins with an A.
The Akashic Records?
Exactly. It's the physical location of the Akashic Records, and that energy is what cuts the faces on a crystal. It's the thing that makes them clear or cloudy, and it makes them have lattice structures and internal inclusions and flaws. That's all the Akashic Records. We have wars, you get a flaw. We have healing, you get clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Crystals respond to that, and they become maps. And
mm-hmm.
these maps, these crystals that become maps are record keepers. You
mm-hmm.
follow me? They're called record keepers.
Yeah, I have several record keepers. I just don't have any big ones.
Yeah, well, the next thing is, now, there are old soul record keepers. They're called master crystals, points.
Mm-hmm.
And they're baby record keepers, which are called clusters.
Mm-hmm.
Because a point, at one point, was part of a cluster that broke up.
Sure.
And it went on, and it resonated with something or someone,
mm-hmm.
someone's soul, and that thing grew. And it grew and it grew for millions of years, because the souls are old like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, one day, you know, and this is something the Pleiadians do a lot more than we do here, one day it comes time to pay homage to nature, because nature is the forces of nature give your body form. All of the cells and the atoms and the molecules in your body have form, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They come from nature. In the beginning, you could imagine like a little field, and there's a flower in the field, and then the animal comes along and eats the flower, and then another animal comes along and eats that animal. And everything is happening in this little field. Well, that's the beginning of the culturing of the of the oversoul. And eventually that animal evolves into some form and a spirit inhabits it, and you have the human kingdom starts to come.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you got to go all the way back. To reach immortality, you got to go all the way back to where that is and recognize your roots and your ancestry of your form, the solid form. You know, that's what the Egyptians were so meticulous about embalming, not because they were going to use their bodies over, they wanted to show and preserve the body as a beautiful form. So what happens is, on the sojourn back to your form, at some point in some lifetime, you become knowledgeable of crystals and quartz and minerals, and you start collecting rocks, and pretty soon they're rocks, they become gems. It's a rock to a person in rock consciousness. It's a gem to somebody as you become. It's also called the growing of the alchemer stone. You know, the divine philosopher's stone. And so, at one point, one of these crystals is resonating to your frequency, and it's somewhere out there. Okay, it's somewhere out there. And so, what now has to happen is you seek for that. You go on a sojourn, and you begin to look for that crystal. You know, it's no longer a big white rock. You know, it's no longer, it's now a crystal. And pretty soon it's a master crystal. You're looking for a particular crystal.
Ah.
See what I'm saying? And so when you find it, you'll resonate to it. And the way I got into this, this isn't my thing now. We're into this thing you need to listen to. But I got into this. I'll just give it to you briefly. I got into this crystal stuff. We already had a systems built. And I wasn't doing anything with quartz. And this doctor, his oldest doctor, he was dying of cancer, and he sold me this master crystal. He knew a lot. He was very wise, and I was very stupid. And he sold me this crystal, and I paid $80 for it. It's in my living room. And it's about a 70-pound crystal.
Wow.
This was a long time ago. And I didn't know what it was, but he says, you need this. And he was teaching me about gems and things like that. We didn't have anything like a nuclear receptor. They hadn't been invented yet. It's a long time ago. So I had this crystal in the living room and just sitting there by itself and didn't notice a damn thing from it. And so a friend of mine came along, his name was Ron Spencer, and he knew that I had to go through this growth curve. This was a friend of mine helping me out. But I paid $80 for it, so Ron said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to show you some magic here. And this is fine. I says, first I got to buy that crystal from you. I'll give you $500 for it. I said, sold. Are you kidding? Here's the way I thought. Boom. I paid 80. 80 minus 500. That's 420. Pyridine was just a brand new company then. I could $420 in those days, buy a lot of pyridomes and sell those, make a lot of money. That's what I was thinking, you know. So he took it, and he went off to Hawaii. And he called me up after about 2 or 3 weeks and asked me if I felt anything different. And I said, yeah, I feel something. I don't know quite what it is. But I feel something different now because the crystal was gone, right? Well, he got over to Hawaii. I don't know where he put the crystal. I think he went back to Oregon. He got over to Hawaii, and he set up one of my systems three. And he was the first one to put crystal in it. And I got pictures of it. I show him at my seminar. And he had that. He had that. And I knew about programming. I didn't know that much about programming my systems to make things happen. But he programmed that system, the one that he built over there. And so he called me up, and a couple days later, and he said, well, so we put the system up over here on the north shore of Oahu, and the monks came, the Dalai Lama's over here, and the monks came and got in the system, and they said this was divine energy in here. It's like a energy of a mantram, you know.
Cool.
And so the pattern, if you look at one of those Indian rugs, there's Tibetan rugs, the patterns on there is what the fields look like in the system. So then he called me back a few days later, and he said that the Dalai Lama had just showed up, and himself, and one of his investors, one of these guys that follows me, had just given him $10,000. So he was taking the system down, and he didn't need the master crystal anymore. He wanted to know if I wanted to buy it back. And I said, for how much? He said, for the $500. Well, by now I realized what had happened, you know, because the Dalai Lama was using it. So I had $500. He'd written me a check, and I had $500 bills when he showed up. Come in through L.A., gone his way to India with the Dalai Lama. He brought that crystal back. I didn't know what the experience was, but I knew one thing, that they went in my systems, and if the Dalai Lama acknowledged this, then there was something to it, and I needed to get back to the crystal. And since then, I've learned a lot, obviously. you know.
Yeah.
The next big one that I sold is pictured up on the websites, on the BBS radio website, and it's on my website. And that's the Sheba Lingle crystal that I sold in 1984 to the monks. Over, that was a 700-pound crystal out of Jimmy Coleman and Ron Coleman's mine at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that people come from all over the world to pay homage to that. And that was the master crystal of the old, the highest Buddhist master in the world who's since passed. So now that it's now it's become a shrine, but at one point it was a temple. And we started putting lasers into the crystals to raise the energy to bring the astral. The photons come off the astral plane and it comes out in the crystal and it does it animate your body
mm-hmm.
with astral energy. So we started doing that, and the whole world today shoots crystals, I mean lasers into crystals.
Mm.
And so the master crystal now, that it's the same one. It's sitting there, I'm looking at it right now, lit up by a green laser as we speak. It ain't going nowhere. You don't even want to know the amounts of money that I've been offered for it, almost enough to retire on at some point. It ain't going nowhere. It ain't for sale. And that's how you'll find that when you find the right one, that's just how it goes. And I know that one is up on our website. We're asking $8,000 for it. It's not cheap, but it is the finest one in the whole world that's for sale and the last. I've got a whole bunch of bigger ones. And a whole bunch
hey, Dr. Bell. Dr. Bell?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about trading again after this show.
Okay. So anyway, I've got a bunch of other master crystals stored out in Malibu, which is about an hour drive from here. And those are the last of the last. But that one down there, that one in the picture, is the ultimate crystal for sale. The rest of them are great. When they're gone, there won't be any more. There's no more.
No more from the Coleman mine, or
no more from anywhere. Because the Coleman mine's the only one that ever produced them.
Really?
Yeah. I got an affidavit in my files from Ron saying that after 5,000 of them came out, that's about how many came out, there wouldn't be any more. And there aren't. There's only thing that's there now is the water. The water that comes out of that mine, they're going to be bottling it. And the water, there's some water like that down the road, and that sold to a water company for $213 million. And the water coming out of the Coleman mine is better. They're the two best water sources in the world.
Wow.
And so the crystals are gone. You can get big crystals from south of the border, from South America. You can get great big old points. But the problem is with those is that they are a clockwise spin, I mean a counterclockwise spin on their structure. And so they only work psychically. They don't have the healing power and the Akashic power that these North American crystals do. And people have looked all over the Northern Hemisphere, because that's where they have to come from, for something like that came out of the Coleman mine, and nobody has even found one yet like them. So there's one mine, and it's over with now. And I think Ron's got one down there for sale. If he hasn't sold it, it's not as clear. It stands up straight because he cut the bottom on it, and I think he wanted $25,000 for it, and I think it weighs 125 pounds, a little heavier than one I got. And I'm sure if he hasn't sold it, he's probably doubled the price on it. Because
with
fewer left, the prices are going up. Because it has to happen that way. The person has to resonate to it. Now we got a lot of other little master crystals around, but nothing like the one on our website. That's the last of the last.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. Is what made the difference? And did you meditate over them and find out they were master crystals, or they spoke to you?
They'll tell you. I won't tell you. You find out for yourself. Something like that, you might visit it.
I've got one other one that's pretty darn nice,
but it's not as good as that one. It's beautiful. It's very unique, and it's got a point later right across the top of it. That's probably number two on the list, but number one's sitting on the website there.
Yeah, well, I looked at those because, I'm having Mitch put together the whole system for me, and I'm just feeling a real urgency to get the holographic projector room going.
Well, you heard that conversation before about that lady I just spoke to from Detroit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Yes,
I did.
She's not unique in what's going on now. She's unique in the fact that Virginia, I think her name was. She's unique in the fact that she's recognized it and she hasn't let her peers pull her down.
Mm-hmm.
She's standing up on her own, and that's good. So she's becoming the physician heal thyself, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others like Virginia that are coming out now, and this show is helping to reach a lot of them, I might add. You got here, I think, without it, but I mean, it's giving you it's a support vehicle for you, and so there's more and more people we're reaching, and this show is probably doubling and tripling every week.
I'm telling everybody that I meet about it, and I write down.
So there'll be a lot of people. So the hologram is where it's at. That's where you got to go. And
I was talking with Steve the other day.
They said I told Don last week, I said, I'm not going to do a show tonight. I really meant it. I really didn't want to do a show tonight. And then in the midweek, they said I was going to do a show. So he put up the board, you know, the little announcement that I was being doing a show. And I guess Wednesday or Thursday he did that. There's no title.
Mm-hmm.
There was no title. They didn't tell me what I was going to talk about till tonight. About 3 o'clock this afternoon, they told me what I was supposed to talk about tonight. That's how late. So I just ran in and grabbed the phone. And I said, Don, this is what I've just been told to do tonight, the subject. And I think it was pretty cool because he just had a similar experience about the same topic. So that's why we're doing this topic tonight.
Yeah, in fact, that was really strange, that topic.
Come on, Don, talk a little bit here.
Yeah, well, that topic, you know, I was thinking yesterday and today about technology and spirituality and how you can increase your spiritual growth with technology. And it hit me, and I was talking about it a couple times with several people, and then, boom, Fred Bell nails me on it and says, this is what we're going to talk about. I thought, what a synchronicity.
Yeah, it's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's just like, I'll give you an example here. Lynn Horowitz, he was on my little brother, call him baby brother Lynn. he's so cute. He makes a little thing called the 3E Evolutionary Energy Enhancer. Okay? It's a round, like a little sticker. It's about 4 or 5 inches in diameter. It's got a very nice little pyramid-shaped front, and it's got numbers on it, 993, 174, 285, 396, 417, 528, 639, and 528. These are numbers that come down through the old records and the Bible codes and the frequencies of love and different positive energy, okay?
Hmm.
I'm holding this in my hand, and it induces a good feeling just to hold this thing. It's just a sticker,
mm-hmm.
but it's a mantra. And it doesn't have, say, the power of one of the pyramids or a receptor, but it's got a lot more power than a sheet of paper with some advertisement on it for a bottle of beer. You follow what I'm saying?
mm-hmm.
And so the government, on the other hand, knows that, well, between 285 and 396 is another number, okay? It would be something like, say, 326. Okay, so that's not going to be so harmonious. So the government's going to trigger stuff on those in between frequencies and start transmitting that all over the world, because what that does is it slows down your body's ability to absorb this photonic, this higher spiritual astral light that we're coming into now as we make this sojourn on the precession of the equinox. And they're doing everything they can to produce a jamming network.
Just like the cell towers and all the cell phones, the global communication satellites and everything. They do
right.
The same thing.
Exactly. And they're all disharmonic frequencies. Just watch about 7 years, 6 years from now, watch the people that have tumors in their head from using cell phones. They'll be everywhere.
Yeah.
Unless they've done something to keep their immune systems up. And there's only one thing to get rid of cell phone energy that I find that works, and you can test it, and we have tested it, and that's called auric offset, and that's produced by our nuclear receptor. When it's worn on the body, it produces a frequency that will cause microwaves to come in and harmonize to the aura versus short-circuit the body and produce estrogen. Male or females produce estrogen, which causes a cancer reaction in the body. It's an overproduction of estrogen. That's the first chemical thing that goes on when you get hit with radiation in the process of creating free radicals. And the nuclear receptor has been shown to stop that. And I'm in the process of showing that to the FDA. It's one of my tests. But, I mean, if most people don't know how to prevent themselves. Or you could be taking huge amounts of Fotai and ginseng, and that will also chemically help your body repel radiation, like the people in
mm-hmm.
Hiroshima and Nagasaki didn't have an effect. But you got to take an awful lot of that stuff until you almost turn brown, because it's a brown-looking herb. So, I mean, unless you're doing something, you're going to have a problem. So there's no way you can reach, you know, multidimensional holographic consciousness and go out and talk to angels and do all the stuff that we should be doing without any of this stuff.
Oh, I agree. And I told you, I don't take mine off. I keep
yeah.
that nuclear receptor on all the time. And mine turns gold all the time.
Yeah. Valerie, I'd like to take all my systems and all my crystals and throw them in the ocean. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to do all that. Just trash everything out.
Mm-hmm.
But that would mean we'd have no wars. we'd have no famine, we'd have no disease, and everybody would be harmonious here. Then
mm-hmm.
then we wouldn't need this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But
well,
right now
nice.
We're in this situation where we need a little technology. I think this time will pass. I really do,
mm-hmm.
because when we get into our eternal bodies, into our high-frequency bodies, then they'll resonate beyond material form. They'll still be
mm-hmm.
touch stuff, and you can still eat a little bit. You won't eat much, but well, there'll still be a material aspect to it, enough to reflect light. But, you know, even the Pleiadians that live 1,500 years, that's a certain more etherealness than we have, still use things like my receptor, because they gave me the design of it, and the Andromedans, one of the things that Liara told me is that when you put so many of these projector transmitters, the bigger ones, you know, the standalones, out in the world, it will create a huge mantram as they go. Some people have bought them and they put them in temples and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
they're gradually going all over the world. She says if you get enough of them out there, it will create such a huge holographic field that it will actually decimate the negative stuff. But she says we don't have enough
excellent.
Of them out there yet, and we got to educate people on how. And then that's like I got that guy Steve Barish. When people want to get serious,
mm-hmm.
this guy is amazing. He's back in Pennsylvania, and we give his number out, and he helps you orient these things. And I'm telling you, he's healing hundreds of people a month. Hundreds of people are going in, almost to be dramatic about it, hobbling in on crutches and walking out perfectly out of his rooms where he's using this technology. He uses it
mm-hmm.
far better than I do, because
well, he and I had a long talk about it.
The advertisement, you know. He's
yeah,
the real
we had a long
deal.
Talk about it the other day, and he's instructing me of how to set him up.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was interesting too is last time I talked to you on the show, I told you there was a being outside my window that was talking to me, and as I was telling Steve about it, he said, yeah, he's here. He's motioning to me to come into the room so I can hear him better. And he went in, and he basically told me the same thing that the being had told me directly.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. And then we had a long talk about what happens when you turn these things clockwise. And he said it really helps you to wipe out all of your fears and get rid of all that negative karma. But he said, boy, you really have to be prepared for that. And I said, okay, well, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, to give you the listeners out there a little background about Steve Barish. He's an old car racer. He used to race cars, just like I, at the drag strip. He's an old racing guy, a mechanic. And he got enlightened one day somehow. And to show you that not only is he enlightened, he's living back in a little hole in the wall in Pennsylvania where nobody knows, you know, near Rochester. He's been invited by the royal family of Japan to come and meet all the most famous healing masters next year.
Wow.
Yeah, I bet he hasn't told you that yet, has he?
No, he hasn't told me that. He told me a lot of other things.
The royal
I'm not
family
share
of Japan to meet the most famous masters in all of Japan, and that is in April. He's supposed
wow.
to go. That so tell me the stuff doesn't work. He had
no
idea.
I can't
that
wait
was
to have
coming.
It.
He didn't go looking for it. He don't even advertise. He has no flyers, nothing. No radio shows, nothing. He just does his thing, and everybody comes to his doorstep. And he's an old car racer, you know, a mechanic.
Well, he's quite an interesting guy. And,
yeah,
and
he's brilliant.
Yeah, and I'm very much excited about getting all this set up at my place. So we'll have a place in Sedona, and I'm sure people are going to start trooping in. And
oh, you will bring Sedona to life. Sedona is dead right now. You're going to
yeah.
light it up with a hologram.
Yeah, it's been kind of strange, you know. Well, people always go in and out of Sedona. It's a hard place to
Well, yeah, it's turned into New York City. It's a transit zone. So it's becoming a
yeah.
solar place. It's not a heart chakra. You need to get it to the energy where it used to be. It used to be almost a pineal gland over there, but not anymore. It's been trashed.
Well, you
I've
know,
been there
what,
lots of times. I used to do seminars over there.
What's happening right now is there's a lot of the goddesses are getting together. And women are, you know, walking into their goddess consciousness and saying, okay, that's it. We're going to take this all in hand now, and, you know, the secret word is love.
You bet. I wish the women would take over, because...
Man, I'm a lion. I like to sit by the cave and let the lioness hunt. All the way.
Well, I'll tell you what, the goddesses are starting to stand up around here and go, all right, enough of this crap.
Yeah.
You know, now we're going to take over. We're going to just send the love out there, and
but
we
put
are going
put some projectors
to
on them.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be my distributor over there.
Yeah, yeah,
fuck
you
up.
Bet.
Put some projectors on them. They'll be wicked.
Yeah.
They'll be lighting up the hallways.
Well, you know, everybody is just chomping at the bit to get their projectors out here and get them in the room and stuff. And I was telling Mitch, I said, I'm trying to test myself for this, but I keep going back and forth between different colors. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do for my personal one. I think I'm just going to go for the color of love.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Blue? Yeah, well, for me, it's pink.
Pink,
so,
okay.
So I figured out, well...
Sapphires?
Pardon?
You're going to put pink sapphires in it.
Yeah, pink sapphires and sterling silver.
Yeah. See, when people go to gemstones, you could use a pink tourmaline, but I would go with a sapphire. It's a harder stone and it's higher energy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the right color. I love amethyst, but it's so soft. You know, I wish amethyst was a little harder. Then you have to kind of, the next step up, of course, is lapis, and it is a little harder frequency.
Mm-hmm.
The Egyptians use a lot of that in their scarabs as amulet.
Yeah, I like lapis a lot.
Yeah,
it's got a really intense energy, but I found that, like, I can't wear it in a necklace because I just blow it apart.
Yeah.
But with the sapphires and such, that's in the pink.
The iolites are good,
yeah,
too, but those are purple.
Iolites,
yeah, and then sphenes are good. Sphenes, I cornered the whole, I bought every sphene that was cut in the whole world. I got a whole collection of them. They're really hard to get. That's
really?
An amazing,
I have a couple.
Stone. We use them in the receptors a lot.
I have a couple really nice
for kids, you know, unruly kids and stuff that spiritually aren't getting the right input.
Mm-hmm.
Put a sphene projector on a hyperactive kid and throw a Ritalin away.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now that would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting set to try to talk some of the school people here into letting me talk to the parents and the kids about proper nutrition. And hopefully, you know, get them off of all this stuff. There's too much depression, even in this area. You know, I mean, this is a beautiful place, and you would think people wouldn't be depressed to be here, but there's
I put 8-foot portamids in the Wilton school system in downtown Los Angeles. They take people off of Ritalin. The kids don't have to take it while they're at school. They go in those portamids.
Cool.
Calms them right down.
Huh.
Well,
a couple of those out here.
We're still going to have that portal party at your place, right, Fred? Dr. Olmsted, myself, you, and a few others?
Yeah, we're going to have that.
That portal party?
Yeah, going out.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice? Get a bunch of us over there wearing all...
You don't need to wear anything. I mean, yeah, clothes maybe. But, I mean, when I set this thing up...
We'll get the beads out and everything else and the chanting and the music, and we'll just...
You know what I do for something like that? I do it live. and you'll be gone. Not a problem.
That'd be awesome. You just let me know
I did that once for Sherry Steiner, Brad's wife, and we almost didn't get her back. And I did it for Xenia Seberg, and I had another doctor here, and she went out, and we had to give her a resuscitation. She went out so far.
Oh, you should have called me on that one.
Yeah, you could have done that, huh? Yeah.
Well, people get too high
in here. I have to be careful. Like this policeman that was in the other night. He's a very, very, very powerful guy. He takes care of a lot of people. You know, he's in the probation department, and I help those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he helps other people that are having problems. And he came in here, and he's a friend of mine. I invited him over, and he got high and beautiful, and it's like. You know, he'll take that energy out and help people with it. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, it's so neat to get people like that over here now. Like Roy Kitchen. I mean, he kind of wanted to do it for himself. And then we have another policeman back on the East Coast now that's bought a bunch of our stuff and been sending me some emails. He's using it. It's good to see that clear down into law enforcement, instead of the heaviness of the badge and the abuse that the badge has given some people, to see the healing aspect coming to these people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That speaks big volume to me, you know. And when it gets to that point where it's going out and people that enforce the criminal element with this consciousness, God bless America. That's all I can say, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, I've known quite a few cops because I used to be an ER nurse before I went to med school.
Yeah.
And most of the guys that I knew were just really good guys deep down, and they went into it not because they were on power trips, but because they really felt that they could do some good.
Yeah.
And you know, they're really decent guys.
No, that's good.
So I'm not surprised.
I'll tell you what was really funny is I had some friends of mine in the highway patrol wearing pyramids out on the beat. You ever see California Highway Patrol wearing a pyramid on his head? That is so cool. I love it.
Well, I'll tell you
that
what,
makes my day.
I bet. Well, as soon as I can get my stuff in, I'm going to be wearing one of your. I think I'm probably going to wear the Silver Power Dome while I'm working.
Oh, good.
Because I really need to get the old brain cells, you know, firing on about 15 different directions when I'm working.
It takes about a year to clear out all the toxins in your brain with one of our. I'll do a TV show or a radio show on that pretty soon. I've got a couple shows coming up. Probably on the 11 o'clock hour, I'll do those on how that works. I'm not going to do that tonight, but there's a specific chemistry that goes with wearing a power dome and detoxing your brain.
Cool. I probably need that. I had carbon monoxide poisoning that almost killed me.
Yeah, well, everybody does because the arteries coming from your lungs going into your brain are reduced from a quarter of an inch to a millionth of an inch. So you automatically, regardless of where you live, your brain is acting like a filter. By the time you reach your 30th birthday, the blood through your brain has dropped about 60% from when it was when you were 12 or 13. So that can be fixed. And there's no fast on the planet or nothing that can restore the normal blood flow to the brain. It just doesn't happen. The pyramid's the only thing that's been proven to do that.
Well, it's pretty powerful
and it's
stuff.
It's like vibrating rusty pipes. Consider the arterial arteries in your brain as pipes full of rust, which is plaque, and the pyramid will detox that. And I'll tell you how strong it is. I can take a smoker that hasn't smoked in 10 years, okay? Because, you know, that's heavy stuff. And put a power dome on their head and give them about 6 weeks. And when they urinate, they'll smell like an ashtray. And they ain't touched nothing in a year, several years. That's how strong it is.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I've done that. Yeah, any of you smokers out there that have quit for more than a couple of years, think I'm kidding. I'll give you your money back if you don't. Make an ashtray smell with your urine after about 6 or 8 weeks if you wear it every day. Guaranteed.
Man, that's awesome.
Yep.
Well, I'm excited about getting mine.
Yeah. And you know what? When you reach that point, you know how much clearer your brain is? It's firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate so much your information on this stuff. Thank you so much. And I may just have to take a trip down to your place and take a look at some of those crystals.
Yeah, we got a few here. I'll take you out to Malibu and show you a bunch more.
Cool. Well, that's the one that you put at the foot of the bed, right? The Master Crystal?
Well, you can put it at the foot of your bed. I got mine in the middle of the vortex over here.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see it from my bedroom. Yeah, it energizes the whole upstairs of this house.
Well, I'm kind of away from the vortex, although Sedona's kind of big vortex.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of in a really energetically quiet area, and I picked that on purpose.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I've lived in West Sedona before, and it's not energetically quiet. There's too many ley lines crisscrossing, and I'm not one of those people who likes to be woken up in the middle of the night with the piano rolling across the room by itself and playing, and doors opening and closing, and crockery flying off of shelves. And,
yeah.
That's just really not fun. So anyway, well, thank you so much, Dr. Fred. I appreciate it, and I will see when I can schedule a trip out there.
Okay.
Well, we love you. We love you, Valerie, and I just hope everybody tunes into your show, which comes on VBS Radio Weekly, because it's a wonderful show.
Oh, you are so sweet. I love you guys, too. And, it's nice to be in it together.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I watch this whole network growing now. It's kind of neat.
It's awesome. It's just awesome, and it should grow. And I know I'm telling everybody about it, and they get really excited when they hear about it. So anyway, again, thank you, both of you, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
I really like her.
Yeah, Valerie's great.
She is terrific. Oops, we got another caller. I'll put him on.
Going on. Yeah, turn down the radio.
Hello?
Turn down the radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, are you calling in?
Yeah, I'm from Philadelphia.
What's your name?
Adam.
Oh, hi, Adam, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well.
What kind of a question do you have tonight?
Oh, well, we had attended a seminar with Fred in Laguna.
Yeah, that's
last
me.
Year, and we just wanted to ask about the use of the new projectors.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
I was wondering... mostly about the if you've worn the receptor,
right?
At what point I've worn the receptor and the projector together,
right?
but I was wondering when you wear, at what point is it okay now to wear the projector without the receptor present?
You can do it any time. The idea is to, if you've been wearing them together, you need to separate them. And then wear one and wear the receptor will balance your body.
Can you do that again, please?
What?
I've never heard you ever make a sound like that, and I just want to see if you could repeat it.
What sound was that?
Blip, 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 blip.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was drinking water. Yeah, here. I was drinking water. My voice is quitting on me. When you wear the receptor, it balances your body. And when you really notice it, when you start taking the receptor off, and you feel a difference. That's the first sign of really feeling the receptor. Do you have a silver one or a regular one?
Oh, hang on just one second.
Okay.
You gotta turn it down. I can't do this with that. You gotta listen somewhere else in the house. Go upstairs.
Oh, hello?
Yeah,
hello?
Do you have a silver receptor? What kind of, or gold one or gold plated? Which one do you have?
Well, I have one that was pictured on your website, and that's the it's platinum and 18 karat gold, and it's the emerald one, and I purchased it from you I think a couple years ago.
Is it solid platinum?
No, it's solid white gold.
Okay, it's a solid white gold. It's 18 karat all the way through.
Yeah, it has a three-legged diamond bridge.
Okay.
But
and it has a platinum chain?
No, it's a gold chain.
A gold chain, okay.
But I use that one, and then I also have a silver.
Okay, now I have a question for you. How often do you wash it off?
I rinse them about every month.
That's a problem there, okay? That receptor has to be washed every day.
Really?
Yeah. So what you've done is it's so damn radioactive now, it's not working anymore. You're going to have to start rinsing it off. Because the questions you're asking me are telling me you don't know what's going on. It's not a put-down, it's just... This is what happens when people don't quite understand what they do and how to notice what's going on. You need to start washing the thing off every day.
Right. Well,
then you're going to get back in touch with it.
I have been rinsing it, but not every day.
Yeah, you got to do it every day. Any of the gold ones, there's so much radiation out there, and radiation so much slows down the synapses in the brain that you got to be really sensitive. When you get into that projector, you got to be really sensitive to what it's doing. Okay? And a lot of people, jump on the diamond ones, and that's not good because... that's too fast. Things go so fast that they end up going upside down. They get real speedy, and that's not what that thing is for, you know?
Right. Well, the projector I'm using, it has the cubic or the natural zircon.
Yeah, there's zirconians in it.
And
I'd probably change those stones out for something else, too. I'd switch
silver.
That back for some amethyst or something, which doesn't hardly cost anything, you know?
Right. Well, I've found that, you know, the energy is really, you know, relatively pleasant. And,
okay, so you do feel it then?
Oh yeah, I mean I do feel it. What I was wondering is it possible to wear the projector without the receptor?
Yeah, that's time. It's good. It's time.
Okay, because
the right thing. Yeah, exactly. But what you need to do is you wear that projector for a while, and the same because you haven't been rinsing the other thing off, you need to start wearing the other one and alternate them, but don't wear them together anymore. You
right.
Don't have to do them together anymore. That's over with now.
Well, I also have a silver receptor.
Yeah.
And that's one that I wear more routinely than the gold.
Okay, so you like the ampy feeling.
Well, with the silver, it seems to act, you know, really detox the body really rapidly.
It does. That's why I said it's ampy. It's speedy. Yeah, it produces more endorphins when you wear that than the gold does. The gold is more of a vasopressin producer, and the other one's more of the steroid kind of producer. One's working on your stomach, the other's working on your head.
Right. Well, the silver is really good for travel, and you know I find
exactly it is. You know what? You know, you rinse that one off more often.
Yeah, I try to do it pretty often.
Yeah, that one gets hot really fast with radiation. When you travel and you go through, you know, you go through those airport things, you get X-rayed and all that.
Right.
That gets rid of all that.
Right. Well, I've been trying to do that, and you know, it's funny because I was using the headgear pyramids as well along with those. And one thing I noticed about using your pyramids is when you use them outdoors in the natural environment, it seems that they're just, you get a much more profound effect when the gentle wind is blowing through them.
Yeah, you go up to some place like Aspen, and you'll get stoned where... there's guys, you know, up in Aspen, they have the downhill racer. That's the fastest skier in the world. They go downhill 120 miles an hour. I got puts a leather strap on them, and they wear that, and they go downhill skiing. They claim the buzz from the power dome, the silver power dome, and 120 mile an hour on skis going down the side of a cliff is unbelievable. and that's a true story. You know,
right.
So they get a hell of a buzz out of them. And Aspen, those downhill runs are about 11,000, 12,000, 14,000 feet. So, yeah, I totally concur with what you're saying. They do work well in the high altitude in the mountains and stuff.
Right. Well, that's something I've noticed is I used to live in Colorado, and the things that you talk about with negative ions and the wind coming through the pine trees just creates these fields of ions that are, you know, phenomenal.
Oh, it's incredible up there.
But one time I was up there, and I hadn't been there in about 10 years, and I was back on top of a ridge, and I was wearing one of your cheap introductory receptors.
Oh, yeah, they were $99 ones. Now they're $200 ones because of the prices. But, yeah, those are cool. That's what I started out with. That was our first thing we ever made.
Right, but I had a very interesting, I don't know if I would call it a UFO experience, but I really felt the energy of, I felt what I would describe as a multi-scalar wave because I felt a lot of different bands of energy converging within myself.
Yeah.
And I wasn't exactly levitating, but I could feel many rays of energy entering into one point.
Right.
And while I was feeling that way, I realized, and I spent a lot of time in the Rockies, but there were these sort of UFO-shaped clouds,
right,
which is what they call them there.
Yeah.
But I really felt as though a being had come over me, and it was basically like an invisible UFO.
Right. Now, where were you at up in Colorado when you had this feeling?
It was near a reservoir outside of Boulder.
Okay. Because they're up at Pyramid Peak in Aspen. There's an etheric city that the Pleiadians took me to one time. And there's up in those mountains up there are a few cities here and there that are on the second ether. And there are people living in them and stuff. They're just out of the human vision. And sometimes, of course, obviously you can see them. But what you probably was near one of those cities and you sensed it. You just didn't quite see it yet. You'd probably see it now if you went back up there. Definitely if you're using the projector.
Right. Well, it was an incredibly positive experience. And you know, I felt very energized coming back from there. And I did feel that the receptor had something to do with the fact that this sort of entity was checking me out.
Yeah, because you attract them. It's like the other, I don't know if you heard the show the other night, I did on the bee kingdom. I talked about the angel and the pituitary gland of the angel being the queen bee.
Mm-hmm.
And that vibration is what causes the bees to fly and go out and pollinate flowers and bring back honey and royal jelly. The receptor does that to your body. It makes your body come to a high-frequency tuned instrument. And as a high-frequency tuned instrument, you get to listen to the harmonies of the spheres, the music of the spheres, and the energies of the spheres. And so when you're in those more delicate areas like Colorado and some deserts, you can tune right into that, like a radio station. It's really cool. The projector takes you further into it, way further into it, and allows you to actually work within it. You know, the receptor doesn't allow that, but you're ready, yeah. I can see you're really on the spot now for the projector. And do you have the standalone units yet?
No, I haven't really checked those out yet.
Well, those will make the projector go 1,000 times more powerful than when, because they amplify it and send it back. It sets a feedback path up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you need to get one or two of those standalones. I've only been able to work two standalones. Like Steve Barish uses four. I can't handle four. It's completely too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sensitive to that energy, and one or two standalones and the projector is all I can handle myself. And I made this stuff happen in this world. I can't even use my own devices, and that's funny. You know, it's like a race car. I build a race car, and I can't drive it. I got to hire a driver. You know, because
right.
I can't handle
well,
the performance.
That, you know, since,
that's how I feel. My body's still detoxing for all my bad habits, and I've been a vegetarian now, again, strictly for a year, and I was a vegetarian most of my life, and I'm pretty much alcohol, drug-free all the time, and drink water, and but still, I'm still not ready to handle more than two of those projectors. They're incredibly intense.
Right. Well, that is important. I mean, that's something I noticed with the detoxification. I mean, I've been using your products for about 2.5 years, and maybe 3 years now, and I feel like I'm finally getting somewhere.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, I became used to them, but it's definitely, I feel like I've been eating organic food and drinking a lot of water, and I feel really like a lot less toxicity. So I find that I can wear the headgear pyramids for, say, hours at a time
yeah.
and not have any headaches or negative side effects from that.
Now that's good. That's good. It took me a long time to, took me a whole year of wearing that power dome before I could wear it for more than a few hours, because I was so toxic.
Right. Well, the other question
was... That was a long time ago, what I went through.
What do you feel about royal jelly and bee products in general?
I love bee products. I love them. I love honey. I mean, that's the best sweetener there is.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, and it works for me.
Well,
royal jelly is a little too concentrated. I just let the queen bee have that, you know. I don't like royal jelly.
You don't like royal jelly.
I like propolis for salve, for cleaning wounds and skin and stuff. Propolis, you can't beat it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, if you take that stuff, it'll get rid of psoriasis in most people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's definitely something where it takes a certain amount of time. And, you know, one thing I like about your product is as you say, you know, you yourself may not know how to use them fully because people are experimenting with them. And that I think, is, you know, your products inspire people's consciousness. So they're tools that people use. And I found that they're very, you know, very powerful and very desirable at this time
yeah.
in the world.
How did you find out about this show, anyway?
Oh, well, I went to one of your seminars in Laguna 2 years ago.
But, I mean, we didn't have the show. I'm going to talk about the BBS radio show.
Oh, that was through your website.
I
saw it on the website recently.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
So I was wondering, you had mentioned some information about Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah. Did you see all my stuff on the website on that?
Yes.
Okay.
But
yeah,
I was wondering.
Did you listen to it in the archives?
Well, I was wondering from a government background perspective, how do you feel the response was? I was personally kind of surprised that it seemed like people were sitting there for several days before any real help got to them.
Well, obviously they wanted to go the full 9 yards with it. You got to understand that FEMA and anybody that gets, when they start hearing my other shows, my 20-year archive shows, I talk about FEMA, what it's really here for, the enforced martial law. And that's
right.
What they were doing. They were setting up for martial law. They didn't care about anything. FEMA doesn't care about that. You know, there
right.
just happened
well,
to be a couple of people during Clinton's time that were in there, like that were really good, that were, you know, the FEMA was with Clinton running it, and he didn't let it go in the martial law. So they as part of the population control, they were hoping there would be a lot more... The higher part of the government was hoping there'd be a lot more casualties down there than there was, because they've always looked at New Orleans kind of as a sewer. To me, it's one of the most romantic towns in the world, because I know the heart and soul of it. I got married there twice, New Orleans.
Oh.
But, I mean, a lot of people don't see it that way. And Republicans hate the place, a lot of them do. And so
right.
So it had everything going against it. That's why they never fixed the levees. But I have a lot of friends down there, and all of them, none of them had any real serious problems, luckily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the underdog
caught
it pretty bad.
Yeah, it does seem like it was just a situation that they wanted to see how far it could really go before they finally had to go in and help people. And the stories that I was hearing
FEMA told the help to go away. You
right.
know? You probably know
I heard of these Canadian Mounties who actually, you know, got down onto the scene and were doing search and rescue before
yeah.
they allowed in fire workers from around here.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how to describe it. There's something wrong with Canadians. Anybody that's Canadian, you know, is just a little strange to me. And I don't know if there's any Canadians listening in right now, like running the BBS radio, but or my friend Dan Aykroyd. But Canadians just get, they seem to appear on the scene out of nowhere somehow. I don't know what there is about them, you know. And so
right.
The Canadians
well, I think,
got around FEMA. I think that FEMA is probably allergic to Canadians.
Well, they were entering into one of the side affected areas.
Yeah,
but
they were
able to get in faster than our own rescue people were.
I know, they're awesome.
And you know, I mean, it was a very interesting thing. And I mean, all I can say is at this point, you know, we've discussed it and we feel that it's a good idea to be able to, in the event of an emergency, provide say 30 days worth of water and dry food for yourself. At least, and the way the world is currently going, it just seems that you really have to focus on your own intention towards survival, because it's clear that the help may or may not be there, and the spirit may be willing to provide it, but it's very hard to tell what the odds are.
Anymore. Yeah, well, when I was a kid, I had survival training, and, you know, I don't care. I can live pretty much anywhere. The desert's a little harder. I can go probably 10 days without much on a desert, and then I'm going to probably need some water and some food. But
right.
A lot of people aren't trained that way, and they need to have that kind of training. You really do. Or you better have a pretty good, like you say, good food supply. I don't anticipate some real down-and-out disasters right away, but still, it's smart to have water and some food around. It really is. You never
right.
know what the,
well, that,
what the government
yeah, I mean,
is
it, just,
create
it makes the difference between
yeah.
bodily comfort and
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
And then having so it was an interesting lesson in that for us that we were shocked by what we saw both the civil rights issues that were raised and the economic issues that are raised after watching Katrina. So it was a real wake up call to how things are going, and I think that your work has. You know, really struck a chord with me.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
We sometimes say, well, Fred's pretty far out there, but, geez, some of the stuff he says seems to be very true.
Yeah. No, I did this political stuff, and I've been a part of that political machine from Washington for a long time. So I've seen stuff, and even today, if I said some of the stories of things that I've done, nobody believe it, so I just don't say anything. People are finding out for themselves, and once they find out for themselves, I can usually put a little color on the picture, you know. And that's probably pretty much where I leave it now. So people draw their own scene, and I'll fill it in for you. But I'm not
right.
drawing pictures anymore. In the old days, I would draw the whole picture, and that was too much. But now I don't have to.
Right. Well,
I'm glad you called
thing.
In. And when you get a chance, check out the standalones, because you're ready.
Right. Well, it's an interesting thing. I've been actually using some of the products that involve noble gases and magnetics recently.
Yeah, those are good, yeah.
And I found that they just work wonders at a psychological level.
Yeah, they do.
And
emanations
I have,
of the radiation and the wavelength. It's a lot of the old radionics work was based on noble gases.
It's definitely something. I've got one of those units near to Portamid in my living room.
Oh, cool.
And I was out hiking in an area. There's an area near us that I grew up on the landscape out there, but there's a series of farms, and those farms I may not be able to visit there in the future. I was out biking, and I saw this large piece of quartz, and I managed to put it in my backpack, and
well, that's
then
cool.
I had to put it on the bike to get it out
of
there.
Is it pretty clear?
No, it's actually kind of brown.
Okay.
I mean, it's you know, when I got it home, and when it's properly lit, it looks like an oriental piece of jade or something.
Oh, that's way cool.
But it's, you know, out in an area of the countryside where I had sort of my first spiritual experiences. And it was just interesting to bring something like that home. And, I mean, it was awfully heavy in my backpack.
Yeah, well, you'll be bringing a lot more home now. Once that starts and that quartz talks to you and you feel the energy from it, then you're going to have some more. It's going to want some friends. So you're going to have to go get friends for your quartz. Are you coming to the seminar?
I may. I'm still considering whether I'll get out there this time. It's expensive to travel in that part of the country.
Yeah, it's worth it, though.
Yeah, that's definitely true. What sorts of things are you going to be talking about this year?
Oh, holographic stuff. A lot of topics. I don't even know what I'm going to talk about yet. I've got about 16 bullet points posted somewhere. on my website that we're going to be talking about the basic things, but the seminars these days. But we're getting more and more into the stargates now, and I guess pretty soon I'm going to readjust the vortexes here in the living room, but and then it's going to get pretty intense around here. Then the subjects are going to change because there'll be a lot more Andromeda energy. But right now I've been told not to tune this living room up too much more because, like I say, people are coming in right now and they're having huge experiences, and it's blowing me away. People that I would never think would have the experiences anywhere, let alone here, are having huge experiences here, and it's never happened before. So there's already a boost in the supercharger somewhere. It's kicked in. Not even aware where that is at this point. So if I start focusing this up a little bit more, it might be too much. And I don't need to do any mouth-to-mouth or have medics in here because people their heart quits on them. You know, people get so high sometimes in this room, in the vortex, that they get out of their body and their pulse goes to almost nothing, and that's a little dangerous. You know, it's like discovering the silver cord. I'm sure they're blissing out and having a great experience, but when you start doing that naturally, it could be just as dangerous, probably more dangerous than drugs if you go too far.
Right. Well, it represents a point of energy overload.
Exactly. And this ain't a drug. I mean, the drug's going to wear off and you're going to come back. Here, there's nothing's going to wear off. It's just going to go more. So in the last 6 or 8 months, I have tremendous respect for this. In the old days, especially Orientals when they came over, we're on a four-level house, and the vortex is the bottom of the house, but it's the focal point's at the fourth level where the living room is, for people that want to understand what it looks like here. So as you come up from the lower level, from the entryway, which is on the second level, to the third level, to the fourth level, people start getting nausea that can't fly, and then they get toxic, and they'll get up almost in the living room. They turn around, and they have to go down one level and usually vomit in the toilet or something because it just it detoxes them so fast. That's the old days. Now, those kind of people don't find their way here anymore. The people that do are pretty tuned in. They still can't handle it. It maxes them out, you know. So I've got to really be careful now.
Right. Well, you can't force evolution, and everything has to follow its organic, God-given form.
Yeah.
But definitely, I've noticed, especially with detoxification of the body, is really the gentler is the better.
Yeah.
I had a bad experience where I was going to a doctor who was giving me a lot of different supplements to take, and I had an elevated liver enzyme.
Right.
But he was loading on these different supplements and mineral drinks and things, and I said, it just feels like too much.
Which enzyme group that was high?
It was the ALT.
Okay.
But I had been on naproxen because I had back pain.
Right.
And I drank alcohol, but they didn't tell me not to do that with
it. Yeah, it'll elevate that. Tequila and vodka will just about throw you completely off. And the problem is with those things, the damage lasts a little while. For example, if you're not on a drug and you put wine or beer in your system, the elevation of that is the enzymes are so low that the liver can heal itself as it goes up and down. But when
right.
you douse it with some real powerful alcohol concentrates, like those, and drugs on top of it, it does damage to the liver. It wipes it out so fast that it causes a scarring in there that it can't recover from. It creates a sclerotic condition. And that's
right.
Good.
And basically, I stopped alcohol and worked with that doctor for a while. But then I stopped the full supplement regimen under the advice of another doctor who said that the problem that I was having wasn't relating to drinking. It was probably just overloading with supplements.
Yeah.
And
so, a lot of supplements are toxic because they're not made with natural ingredients. They claim they are, but they're not.
Yeah, I've been sticking completely to organic supplements now.
Yeah, that's the only way to go, and you got to even watch those.
And I'm using the smallest amounts of those as well, and finding that, especially in combination with, I've got all my vitamins under your Vitamids over in the cabinet.
That's why I started making my own vitamins. I couldn't trust anybody else's anymore. We even quarantine our basic ingredients for 45 days before we even formulated to make sure everything is good in them. We're real fussy on quality control. You have to.
Right.
Be.
Well, that's definitely important.
Yeah.
And but I found that really as I use your system and use the pyramids and all, the subtler and gentler, the better. Now, that may just be my own temperament, but, you know, I feel like I'm on the right path here. And,
good, yeah.
You know, we haven't been using any alcohol, and that's been a very positive thing. So now I really feel like I'm getting the 3 years of detoxification effect.
Yeah, you do then.
But we really didn't have any withdrawal. Me and my wife just stopped drinking, and it's been an interesting period. And, you know, I just wanted to mention that. I was wondering if you were using your products to detoxify, specifically maybe the headgear pyramids and stuff, would there be any danger of overloading your organs?
No, not really. The only way that you would overload your organs, and I was working with, Gary Null, actually, the guy from the East Coast, the radio guy. He was working on some experiments with rats that had cancer, and we detoxed them too fast and killed them in a laboratory experiment. But look at the size of a rat and the size of a pyramid, and they were obviously given clinical cancer. So other than that, animals having some problems, we've never had a problem with humans, because usually the headache factor is so great that they have to stop the therapy until the liver catches up, because the headache is created by a production of acetaldehydes in the liver, which is created by detoxing from alcohol, drugs, or a lot of other stuff that's in your body, especially sugars, fermented sugars, which are compound sugars. So basically, your body will warn you with our stuff, you know, to slow down on it. And then you drink,
right.
You get a headache, you just drink water and take chromium folinate and vitamin C and vitamin E, and you'll be fine.
Right,
so
that's definitely true. And I found that the headache phenomenon really does go away.
Yeah, it does. It took me a year to get rid of it.
And it also varies from day to day. If there's pollution exposure or if I'm stuck in traffic and things like that, I mean,
yeah,
I
then you're
going to
get a little headache, maybe a half an hour of it or something.
Right. And it's a gentle thing that you can kind of push through.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, just the advantages of these things are really phenomenal. And
yeah.
I think people experimenting with them is really a unique gift at this moment in history where things are so uncertain for all of us.
Everybody has to have a pyramid, you know, bring on the new age. They shouldn't have put it on the dollar bill, but they did.
Right.
So every dollar bill has to be spent on a pyramid at some point in time. And that means somebody needs to get a pyramid. Bring on evolution. And that's kind of a funny thing, but it's true. Any Mason will tell you that. That's why it's there. New order of the ages. You know, e pluribus unum.
Right. Well, thank you for talking to me.
All right. It's great that we had somebody to talk to tonight. It's getting kind of empty around here.
And, you know, in general, so if I was to use the projector alone just for meditation with no other device on, or
yeah,
maybe...
You do have a star orb, right?
No, I don't have one.
You don't have one anywhere in your house?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's a $200 investment. It's a must. You're going to get distortion. When you start using it for meditation or anything like that, any negative energies around you are going to start... They'll turn you upside down in a minute with a projector. You need
right.
to get a star orb. Very inexpensive. And get it grounded to your refrigerator for the food and grounded outside. Three wires and one into your plug system, your electrical system.
Well, I was wondering if I wanted to use one of the larger Devastar orbs.
Well, the Devastar is fine, but minimal requirement when you start meditating believe me, I've got clients that didn't do that, and every one of them had a problem. They all had a problem.
Well, I've already got a lot of different EMF protection. And,
yeah, but you got the Star Orb is something that works with the hologram projector in such a way that you'll see. Go ahead and try it without it. You'll be getting one soon enough.
Right.
Remember,
well,
I told you so.
Well, it's so what I was wondering is if I was to put one of those in an attic space in my
That's
house.
That's fine. Put it anywhere you want. Higher the better. Doesn't have to be where you see it, because it takes all that grounding energy and it processes it in that chamber, you know, and it sends the energy back out. It's a it sends a scalar wave out. It takes ELF in and puts the scalar wave out. And what it does, it creates a null zone around you. So when you use your projector, you have zero interference. But what happens is, if you don't have it when you use the projector, you're projecting into the hologram and you're projecting into the interference. So how are you going to get interference out? Well, most people can't. They probably can once they've gone through the experience using a star orb and seeing it. But if you can't see it because it's invisible, because you aren't protected, go for a hell of a ride. Then you'll figure it out. I'm just saving you a few steps, and I'm speaking from a lot of experience at this point. And I was overwhelmed. I didn't know that was that critical, but it is. And everybody pretty much has got a projector now. Has got a star orb. We sell a lot of those these days out of necessity. And of all our stuff,
well,
system-wise,
I think
probably
that there's a lot of insecurity over the types of energies that people are being hit with. And,
yeah, there is.
You know, I mean, I try to rely on my own bioenergy in many cases. And I you know, I've been using the receptor technology for long enough.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm just telling you, going in a new space. The other thing that StarUp does is it makes your food last about 3 times longer in your refrigerator when you hook it up.
But then, does it
amazing.
Have to be hitched up to
I put lettuce in there because I live on salads. I'm going to eat one when I get off the show. I've eaten nothing today so far but a couple crackers. I'm going to have a salad. That's going to be my first food today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in a refrigerator that's got a star orb hooked to it. And that salad can be in there for 3 weeks and it still comes out fresh. Without that star orb, it lasts about 5 or 6, 7 days and it starts turning brown.
But it would have to be...
Something, you know?
Would it literally be wired to the refrigerator?
Yeah, you have one wire. For those of you who don't know what they look like, it's just a six-pyramid structure. Kind of looks like a... Like a geometric dome, and you hold your hand with wires in the middle. And you put one wire to your refrigerator to it, put one wire to it to ground, like a stake outside in your ground. If you're in an apartment, you hook it to a pipe, a water pipe, cold water pipe, not hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And the other wire goes into the third wire of your plug. You know, your electrical system in your house has the third wire, the plug. And that's because the ELF that comes in from several places, and one of them is the wires in your house. Another way is it's transmitted in, and the other way it comes up through your water itself, through your water that you drink.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I use the cold water. The hot water amplifies the ELF because it goes in the hot water heater and it acts like a heat exchanger and amplifies the effect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So three sources
well,
that's stopping.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you feel that at some point we will either become completely sick from exposure to things like this? I mean, obviously we are becoming that way already. Or do you think that at some point a certain percentage of society will adapt to the new frequencies and pressures that are being
placed? Well, the ones that adapt without having their own common way will become programmed. The ones
mm-hmm.
that resist will go into these 600 prisons that... the army's babysitting, and the ones that become enlightened behind it will destroy the process. And so they'll be the survivors. So it could be any one of those three scenarios. I choose the latter one, but it's everybody's choice how they want to go. There's plenty of people out there programmed now. Go into most stores. Have a problem with your credit card and call in and try to explain your problem with your credit card to the people on the phone. And you got to pretty much go over the same explanation 30 or 40 times before they finally realize they don't understand what you're talking about anyway, and they hand you a couple of steps upstairs. Try to correct your phone bill or electrical bill because they screwed it up. Or with me right now, with MCI right now, I paid a $133 phone bill back in March. I every week I photocopy their cash version of their Wells Fargo bank that cashed it and send it to their department, and they still don't give me credit for it. Those people
right.
are programmed. Those people
right.
are
yeah, I had the same experience with a cell phone company once, and
yeah, I have it every day with all the companies I deal with.
They're very vicious, and you know they operate by numbers that way.
Yeah, well, this is MCI,
mm-hmm.
and I have problems with my suppliers. They are programmed. They're gone. There's nobody home. I have problems with credit cards, all kinds of things. You know, that's why I have immaculate records, because I, you know, if somebody tries to say that I sent them a check and they're going to turn my electricity off because I didn't pay it, and I've got a check in my hand that's for the amount that they cashed at their bank, and I send them both sides of it 50 times, you know, eventually they don't turn the electricity off. It gets there. But that's the consciousness that's out there running this planet right now. It's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's called programming. They're the ones that are going to go down and get their Tamiflu shot and get laced up with cyclohexane, which is angel dust, and get into the lizard energy. Real simple how that works.
Right. Well, you've definitely implied that, and
yeah.
I think it's interesting.
We
posted
that up on the show after the hurricane, and I said they're going to kill people. And sure enough, 13 kids died in Japan about 2 weeks later. We had that up on the website. Right, Don?
Yes, I'm just talking with Globat. By the way, folks, Globat, G-L-O-B-A-T. You might not want to use their service. They're probably the worst internet service providing organization this world has ever known.
Yeah, even worse than CI Host,
they are the worst that this planet has ever known.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We talk about a problem. He's having one right now. His website keeps going down. You know, I know.
Right. Well, it's definitely technology is very temperamental.
Yeah. Well, the people behind it are even worse.
Right. Well, that is, you know, you're right in implying that. You know, as somebody who, you know, genuinely wants to move towards a positive direction for the world, you know, I think that I think it's trying times, but it calls upon everybody to really really pay attention. And you know, I want to see the best for the world. What can I say?
Okay.
But thank you for everything.
All right. Glad. I hope to see you at the seminar.
Yes, well, that's possible. You know, I just take the philosophy from a distance, but I wish you well and happy holidays.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
So how's it going over there, partner?
I'm just emailing, and you should be.
How's my sidekick doing? Is everything happening with our show here, or... are we pretty much over it now, and we got no more call-ins? Because we've been on for 2 hours and 31 minutes and 58 seconds. This is a fast show, you know what?
Well, let me tell you, you know this, there are web servers that promise 99% uptime. This one should guarantee 99% downtime.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, they're down every night, every day, since March, every day. And you would think that there would be a reprieve or maybe a break or something, that they'd actually have a couple days running where consecutive days they wouldn't have downtime. But no, not Globat. And I'm getting to the point where I asked for my money back.
Yeah.
And of course, that's not going to happen, and I pay years in advance, so I might just have to get the attorneys involved and just turn this over to a better internet service provider. I'm looking to get my, of course, dedicated servers, but they for the last 2 months, I've been trying to get those things running, and it's the same company for the dedicated servers, which was really foolish because they wouldn't give the money back, so I had to put it into the... into dedicated servers. Hopefully it would correct this problem, but here I am 2 months down the road and still don't have the dedicated servers up.
Yeah, I know.
It's amazing.
I know. I know. I've been going through this with you, you know. And it's like me, I get my old emails for 4 months every 2 weeks.
You know, Dr. Bell, I don't complain. I'm not a complainer. And I work through things and I enjoy life. But, folks, if you ever get an internet service provider and a website, and your website goes down daily for a period of March through December, you'd be probably at the stage I am right now. And it would be a comedy if it wasn't so darn miserable.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. luckily we all have pyramids on this end.
You know, there used to be a time decades ago when people were actually proud of their work.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know. My time, very proud of their work. Unfortunately, most people aren't, you know. Got one more caller before we stop here?
We have someone online with you.
Okay, and then we're probably going to shut this down for the evening.
Hi, this is Dave, and I'm from Arizona, calling from Arizona.
Hi, Dave, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Very much appreciate your radio program.
Where in Arizona are you?
Chandler near Phoenix.
Okay, yeah, I know Chandler. It's down there by the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had a quick question. I was kind of curious of what your take was on monatomic gold. I had heard two things about it. One was that it could, like a temporary use of it, could sort of deepen a meditative experience, and the other was that a long-term usage of it, like a daily intake, could actually be like an anti-aging type of device. I was just kind of curious of what your thoughts were.
Well, from my understanding, you know, and from a medical standpoint of view, your body is 5% mineral, and that controls 95% of your metabolic function. And monatomic gold is in the trace mineral family. There's also vanadium, chromium, not chromium, vanadium, titanium. There's a whole family of over 90 to 150 trace minerals. And most people don't get trace minerals anymore because they used to occur in nature, but since the dust bowls of the 30s, the topsoil that really had that really rich topsoil has been ripped off, so your food doesn't have trace minerals. What trace minerals do in your body is they work through what's called the parasympathetic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system is the one nervous system in your body. It's also called the vagus nerve, and it starts at the earlobes and terminates in your solar plexus in the gray matter. It's also called the psychic aerial of the body. And so when you do meditation, you rely on that psychic aerial to bring in to interpret the energy to your consciousness of what's all around you, what you're surrounded with. So without trace minerals, you don't get that. The big problem we have in this world today is there aren't any trace minerals, so people don't get that. So women have menstrual problems, and men have all kinds of problems, and everybody is all uptight all the time because of that vagus nerve is not working. So those types of things, like, you know, like the gold and that, do help bring that and address that issue and bring it back. But I created a formula called Pirlo that's got all of the minerals in it. And so what happens is trace minerals in it. And so when you take that, it completely in a smooth way, well, you'll notice that people within 3 hours will notice the clarity of their thinking immediately within 3 or 4 hours. So that's what I use, and then what we do is we supplement things like what you're taking now, monatomic gold and silver and those other things. They supplement that on top of a base of trace minerals. To do it individually, you'd have to do like 90 things to keep it all in balance, because each one of these trace minerals has a different atomic number, and when you have a different atomic number and you have a summation of all those, it causes a frequency balance of the central nervous system so that you can receive atomically all these higher end frequencies, which are, when you're playing around with trace minerals, you're also looking at a what's called an ionizing radiation of the body, which you become actually a receiver, and you can receive ionized radiation, which then gives you auric offset, which then increases your telepathic powers and your meditation and all that. So, but the answer is it's good stuff. Don't take it in huge amounts without taking a complete formula like we have to balance the whole thing out.
Okay, very good. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
I hope you got an answer there somewhere.
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, Don, are you there?
I'm here, and the website's still down, and you know what they said?
What?
I'm sorry for the inconvenience. I told them an inconvenience is like a mosquito bite. This is a catastrophe.
Yeah, I know. They don't understand any of this. So anyway, the BBS radio is up and running. That website's going, right?
No. Blog and service and everything's down. It's down every day during the evenings or problems. And.
Are we got listeners out there still? Or
we've got a bunch of listeners right now. A ton of them, actually.
Yeah.
luckily, but if they you know, if they don't listen to the live link and cut off, then they won't be getting back on it, that's for sure.
Oh, okay.
Because the website is down, and who knows when it'll go up.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's Globat we're dealing with here, folks.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyway, I think we should end the show now. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes, and my voice is going to quit, and I got to function tomorrow. So I think we had a great show.
We had a great show. And, you know, again, I apologize for bringing this on the air, but, you know, I really think that somebody needs to talk about a company that when they market you and tell you they're the best, and that they're going to do wonderful things for you, and none of it is true, then it's time for people to say, you know, maybe we should, you know, let people know that not to spend their money here because they're going to get trapped in the same situation. And, you know, I got trapped into it, and, you know, when you pay for years in advance and they don't give you your money back and you keep upgrading and upgrading hoping that the problems will go away and you're spending more and more money and they keep making more and more promises and it gets worse and worse and worse and all of a sudden you're like, holy Moses.
You know, what we need to do is we need to have everybody out there. You should give out the phone number to this.
Oh, yeah. Hey, write a letter to customer service at globat.com or support@globat.com. That's GLOBAT.com. That would truly help. But, you know,
senators all the time, it works.
Well, I don't think that's going to do much good with this company because I just don't feel they really care. You know, unfortunate, but otherwise it would have been fixed months and months and months ago.
Yeah, no, it's probably even worse than CIOs. But,
yeah.
Yeah, that was good. And then our website, of course, most people know is PYRADYNE.com, or just go to Dr. Fred Bell in the search engine, and it'll take you right away to our website or a blog and service. And our 800 number is 1-800-729-2603. That's 1-800-729-2603. Give that number out to your friends that don't have a computer. And we'll be doing an 11 o'clock show, which will probably start in a week or two. And
the two,
because next week I'm not going to have time for it, but I'm getting it organized.
Yeah. Well, I was going to play your music right afterwards. That's another reason I brought it up, because normally people love to listen to your music through the wee morning hours.
Go ahead and put it
well,
on.
I won't be able to.
I get to hear my own music.
Well, see, that's just it. That's why I can't do it, because the website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was really another reason. So, sorry, I won't be able to play your music tonight. So.
Okay, well, maybe the website will come back on.
Well,
yeah.
That's an iffy question.
Okay, well, if it comes on, play it, because I'll listen to it.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to sign off.
You have a wonderful evening, and I appreciate it. And to all our wonderful fans out there, know that we love you, and we're trying to bring you the best content we can, and we're trying to keep things moving along smoothly. But every now and again, things have a hairball in them. But we'll iron them out as we go along, and just stay with us. Thank you for being so wonderful and loyal to us, and God bless you, Dr. Bell.
Oh, thank you. I'll give you the same thing right back.
You do wonderful things.
I'm just hanging out. That's all I do. Take it one day at a time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, good night to you.
Okay.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.